Even my prescription allergy medicines don't have it.
Only Advil Allergy Sinus has it. It's the first and only allergy medicine with the pain-relieving power of Advil. So you get allergy relief plus advanced medicine for sinus pain. That's two-way relief.
Now I know what all the others are missing. Advil for my sinus pain.
Advil Allergy Sinus. Don't just stop allergies. Stop allergies that hurt. Use as directed.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC
News. Told the press he first dreamed of a job in the White House on December 25th, 1950. It was the day he was born. His story next on Biography for Radio.
Thousands and thousands of Americans have discovered the power of Judy Singer's MetaSystem for natural weight loss. Judy Singer's MetaSystem is the only natural weight loss system that's been around for over 20 years, that customizes their products for every customer to meet their needs, that provides personalized phone consultation from our trained counselors 7 days per week. Call the MetaSystem now at 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY, and check out the all-new website, themetasystem.com.
The household he grew up in was not a political one. The family lived a quiet life in Colorado, where his father was a geologist. But books gave the young boy a taste for history. Your obsession with politics. It's said he turned Republican at age 9 when he backed Richard Nixon over John Kennedy. By 19, he had moved to Washington as executive director of the College Republicans.
They're going to be creative and think out of the box, as it were. Or maybe that should be out of the pot. One of the easiest ways to make your front door or deck more inviting is to place potted plants and flowers in attractive groupings on stairs or stoops. A few well-situated pots can add lush greenery and color to an otherwise barren spot. Another opportunity to express your creativity is by selecting unusual containers. Don't limit yourself to terracotta or plastic pots. Take a look around your house and yard and see what you could use to showcase your plants. For example, that old watering can would look just lovely with some ivy. Or how about that wicker bicycle basket? Just find a pot that fits in snugly and fill it with flowers. Even an old wheelbarrow can become a planter. One person I know made a unique display by filling a pair of garden boots with potting soil and cascading flowers over the side. When using unconventional items as planters, several things are important. One, you need to use a good potting mix. Two, it's got to have good drainage. So make sure there's some kind of hole at the bottom of the item. And three, the more plants, the better. Don't be afraid to put the plants one next to the other. What you're going for here is an instant look. And remember, get creative. Now, where did I put that old coffee pot? Over and underwatering. Even the greenest thumbs do it. But not with Miracle-Gro Moisture Control Potting Mix. It keeps plants perfectly watered by absorbing a third more water than ordinary soil and releasing it at just the right rate. I'm Peter Strauss for Miracle-Gro.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
When was the last time you tested your garage door? Have you ever given it a safety check?
Hi, I'm Jane.
I'm Morris.
And we're the Carey Brothers with the On the House tip of the day.
Today you'll learn there are three things to do
to make sure it works properly for you right after this.
What's the best way to build a new deck or replace an old one? Deckmaster, the hidden deck fastening system that holds your deck in place from below the deck board.
With Deckmaster, there are no streaks or stains, no hammer dents or nasty pop-up nails to cut little feet. Ouch!
Deckmaster helps extend deck life by preventing wood rot caused by water that seeps in through holes created by nails and screws.
And Deckmaster is guaranteed for 25 years.
Don't even think about building or replacing any deck without Deckmaster. Visit Deckmaster at Deckmaster.com for a dealer near you.
This old house is...
When was the last time you tested your garage door?
Have you ever given it a safety check?
Today you'll learn there are three things to do
to make sure it works properly just for you.
First, test the balance and spring tension.
Pull a release handle to disengage the opener.
Then hand roll the door up and down.
It should do so smoothly and stay in place wherever you leave it,
which means it's properly balanced.
Then, after re-engaging the drive, test the two auto reverse features.
First, place a roll of paper towels under the door and close it.
It should reverse quickly when it hits the roll.
Then also test the light beam safety sensors
located on the floor or the lower side rails.
Place a cardboard box under the open door
so it interrupts the sensor's light beam.
passes these tests, you're good to go.
If it's a no for anyone, call in a Door Pro to diagnose and repair the problem without delay. For more tips, visit our website at onthehouse.com.
Instead of adding to his tie collection, invite Dad to become your fitness partner on Father's Day. Scientific studies show that staying physically active and exercising regularly can help prevent or delay some diseases and conditions as people grow older. Dr. Richard Holdus, director of the National Institute on Aging, says,
it was not very long ago that in general people had the sense that as men and women grew older, the result it was actually dangerous to exercise, and common advice was just to rest, take it easy, and not take the chance of exercise that might endanger health or cause injury. However, over the past years, we've learned a great deal and learned that the best advice is quite to the contrary, that exercise, when properly conducted, can be extremely important in preserving health.
We ask your indulgence for a moment. This is Bob Kincaid. We're having a technical problem here in the studios, and we will crank up head-on as soon as we possibly can. Thanks.
The Lawn Care Show with Bill Clutho, John Deere's groundskeeping guru. Bill, my kids say the lawn feels like their favorite cartoon character, soft and spongy. What's causing this?
Well, it's not a cartoon character, Diane. It's thatch. Thatch is mostly dead roots caused by improper mowing, watering, or fertilizing. But John Deere says a thin layer of thatch is okay, just no more than a half inch. It helps prevent ground compaction and holds moisture in the soil.
What if there's too much thatch?
A thick layer of thatch isn't good. It acts like a sheet of plastic to hold back water, nutrients, and air, all the things roots need to stay healthy. If you already have thatch problems, use a dethatcher.
What can I do to prevent this next year?
To avoid thatch buildup, follow the John Deere one-third rule and mow on the high side. Water your lawn infrequently but deeply, about an inch a week.
I will, Bill. Be sure to listen to the next edition of Green and Growing.
A new report from the USDA indicates tobacco production will probably take a nosedive in 2005. That'll be our focus on today's edition of On the Farm Radio. I'm Jeff Ishkin.
As a mom, my kids expect me to take care of them. That's why mealtimes are so important. A healthy breakfast helps get them through their day. And I like knowing the fresh food I give my family comes from Virginia Farms. Virginia farmers raise everything from beef to poultry to soybeans. And with over 220 million gallons of fresh milk produced last year, you might say they're raising kids too.
Virginia Farm Bureau and farmers, working for all the everyday heroes, just like you.
There are some big changes ahead for tobacco farming. Let's get the details from Gary Crawford.
The amount of land planted this spring to tobacco in this country will be the lowest ever recorded. A survey of farmers done by the Agriculture Department shows planted acreage will only be just under 320,000 acres.
That's down a whopping 22% from last year.
Agriculture Department Chief Economist Keith Collins says the previous low tobacco acreage was back in 1868 at the end of the Civil War, and that was almost 50,000 acres higher than what we're going to see this year. And Keith Collins told us, compared to last season,
Flue cure is expected to be down 17%, burley 30%, and of course all of this reflects the termination of the tobacco production quota program and price support program. That program has been eliminated, and we have a 10-year buyout program underway now, and that's showing up in substantially reduced acreage prospects for tobacco.
Analysts expect in the short term many tobacco farmers will leave the business this next season. In Washington, Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
The Virginia Beef Expo is coming to the Shenandoah Valley April 15th, 16th, and 17th. Join thousands of cattle producers from all around the Mid-Atlantic region for cattle sales and a massive trade show. You'll see cooking demonstrations and, of course, the Virginia Beef Fest. For the complete schedule of events, check out the website at vabeefexpo.org. It's April 15th, 16th, and 17th at the Rockingham County Fairgrounds just outside of Harrisonburg in the Shenandoah Valley, the Virginia Beef Expo.
WWNR Beckley. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
Hey, good evening. 16 minutes after 7 o'clock. Honest to Pete, we did have a problem there. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. The strangest thing was going on. There was a high-pitched, like a 10 kilohertz tone, and it was just all over the room. We couldn't go on the air with it. It was so pervasive. And we couldn't find where it was. It turns out it was coming from a clock. Our intrepid engineer, Randy Kerboy, found it. And don't know what it was, but it made your teeth and your head hurt. It was awful. So our apologies for getting on about 11 minutes late. We'll try not to let that happen again tomorrow night. It is Monday night, and it's look at the daylight out there. Are we cooking on the 5,000 watts? Yes, indeedy. That's awesome. Of course, I said you can't turn the television on or most radios without hearing something about the death of John Paul. And far be it from me to break with that trend, because, you know, when it comes right down to it, you can't beat the Vatican for a state funeral. Lots of pomp and circumstance, bells, whistles, incense, crowds. Shakespeare might have added lots of sound and fury, signifying nothing. But I caught this one quote in the Wire reports that sort of crawled all over me, like what happens when you walk through a spider's web in the woods. You know, that feeling you get. And this is the line. I think it was an AP report, maybe Reuters, I'm not sure. But the line is as follows. The Pope died very serenely, quote, like Jesus, unquote, Cardinal Roger Mahoney of Los Angeles said. Taylor Skye is looking, yeah, serenely like Jesus, I'm not kidding. Stop right there. Wait a minute. I guess a cardinal gets a lot of latitude for the things he says. He cuts a pretty wide swath, and folks give him a broad berth. But to say the Pope died very serenely, quote, like Jesus, unquote? Huh? People have burned books and records and flesh for saying stuff like that. Jesus died serenely? Bless my pea-pecking heart. Goodness gracious, he's good. Serenely. Gotcha. Let me get this straight. Yeshua was arrested, tried, flogged till his flesh was hamburger, if you buy into Mel Gibson's ugly little snuff film, had a crown of thorns like sewing machine needles jammed down onto his head, carried a railroad cross tie a few miles, got flopped down, had his hands nailed into that, got strung up onto an old olive tree, had his feet nailed into the stump for support, and was left there to die. And somewhere in the midst of all this, he in godly perfection cried out, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? This doesn't sound serene to me. There's nothing in the Gospels to indicate that it was a rhetorical question, you know. You want to prove it? Just bash your thumb with a hammer while you're doing chores some lazy Saturday afternoon and see what comes out. It won't be a rhetorical question. For a lot of us, what comes out will be, Jesus Christ, or some variation thereof. And it's not an oath. It's a prayer. But according to church doctrine slavishly adopted by every other so-called Christian faith, Christ was God from the get-go. So when he cried out about being forsaken, he, being perfect, meant it. He had been forsaken. God the Father was gone, left him off shooting pool somewhere. And Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, died alone that day, in agony, in misery, crying out for his Father. And this Roger Mahoney character from L.A. dares compare the death of that decent man, Carol Wojtyla, to the death of the Christ? I guess there comes a level of power where you can get away with anything. Kitty diddling. Christifying. Serene like Jesus. My stomach turned when I read that. Serene like Jesus. Sounded like something out of you'd expect from Bug Spray Delay. Parish Ivo died serene like Jesus. That would be offensive, wouldn't it? Or did they play that card? I can't remember now we had so much of it. But then, of course, we're not trying to hustle Terry Schiavo off to sainthood, are we? And I guess there's a solid argument that Terry Schiavo, absent the best part of her all-too-human brain, died more serenely than most any other person on Earth, unless, of course, you count the day she really died, when she had that brain accident and her heart stopped beating. died serene like Jesus. Serene like my mother. She was kind of in Shiloh land, Mom was. Even if her head did look more like a Rawlings basketball than a human head when she went, and that's a function of the kidney failure. And everybody feels special toward their mother. But I'm convinced no woman ever spent her life nearer God than mine did. Unless maybe it was her mother. And they both died serenely. And serene or not, what they wound up was dead. Serene's another word I wouldn't care if we never used again. Her Serene Highness, Her Serene Majesty, bite my serenity. Serene is something that only happens to creatures conveniently alive upon planet Earth at any given time. And if I hear one more rotten word about the value of suffering, I think I'm going to vomit. There's not a widow's mite's worth of value in suffering, and anyone who thinks so probably likes to be spanked and called ugly names. Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, spent his few years on earth trying to make suffering stop wherever he went. And I'll warrant he would have traded all his suffering on the torture machine. That is, after all, what the crucifacio meant to a good Latin-speaking Roman citizen, torture machine, for the opportunity to make one more human being's life right there, right then, better. Fools. Leave it to fools to see more value in death than in life. You know, were that the case, every pope would just suicide upon election for the values in the death. Culture of life, my left hind foot. Requiescat in pace, caro Wojtyla. Say hello to Gandhi and the Buddha and Quetzalcoatl and any number of people who led exemplary lives in the shadows of obscurity for us. Say hello to Mark Twain for me while you're carrying him supper. Tell Martin Luther King we said howdy while you're emptying his chamber pot. Give our best to Lao Tzu while you're polishing his shoes. When you get a minute, tell Muhammad we send our regards while you're fluffing his pillows. And do tell John Lennon we do imagine. Tough business being the newbie. It's okay, though. Like a champ, the Dalai Lama's holding out to ease the Pope's suffering. Because no good comes of suffering. I think Chief Tecumseh said it best. You killed the son of your god, then you worshipped him when he was dead, and now you kill those who choose not to follow him. And, of course, I suppose you've heard the news that George and Pickles are going to fly over for the funeral. The White House communications office must be moving in light speed right now. Because you know that the evangelo-fascists that support George, you know they don't take a real high view of the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, I can well imagine Bob Jones down at that ugly little university in South Carolina went screaming, running around the room when he heard that George was going to attend the Pope's funeral. Because you know how they talk about Catholics at places like Oral Roberts University and Bob Jones University and that Coral Snake Ministries in Florida. You know how Jerry Falwell talks about the Roman Catholic Church. You know, but especially the Bob Jones types. I mean, they refer to the Roman Catholic Church as the Whore of Babylon. And they call Roman Catholics things like Mary worshippers. So you got to think that George Bush going to this funeral is not going to play real well with his base. You know, the weirdos. The snake handling, strychnine drinking, rolling on the floor types. Not going to play very well at all. So like I said, you can imagine the lines are fairly humming in the White House communications office trying to smooth the seas with the hateful evangelo-fascist base that thinks they darned well own George W. Bush. Yeah, hear it again, the words of Tecumseh. You killed the son of your God, then you worshipped him when he was dead, and now you kill those who choose not to follow him. This is Head on News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. A Mercer County man has been charged in connection with the shooting death of another man at his residence. 58-year-old James Constantino was arrested yesterday and being held at the Southern Regional Jail. He's accused in the death of Pat Browman, who lived in the same Unity Road residence. The shooting is thought to have occurred Friday morning, but was not reported until yesterday morning. No other details were available today. Mercer County Sheriff's Office is investigating. High winds and downed trees knocked out power to about 22,000 Allegheny Power customers across parts of the state yesterday. Spokesman Fred Solomon says the hardest hit areas were in Franklin, Berkeley Springs, Fort Ashby, and also the Star City area of Morgantown. Solomon says power has been restored to about 9,300 customers, and he expects most others to have had their service back by today. The coal industry is healthy in West Virginia. During a visit to the state capitol last week, West Virginia Coal Association President Bill Rainey told miners the industry is likely at its peak right now. He said, "We refer to it as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity in West Virginia." He says it's a strong energy market. Rainey says they're now having trouble finding enough people to mine the coal. As in the normal in most industries, Rainey says the younger generation is stepping in to fill the gap. Rainey predicts the industry will continue to thrive, providing more jobs for people in West Virginia for some time. A tentative settlement has been reached in a lawsuit by former credit card customers of Elder Bierman and Stone and Thomas, who claim they were harassed by collection agencies. Kanawha County Circuit Judge Irene Berger has given preliminary approval to the settlement and scheduled a final hearing for May 31st. That's the news. Now here's the nice forecast for the rest of this evening. Sunny, temperatures upper 50s, tonight clear with a low mid-40s, tomorrow sunny and warmer, tomorrow's high near 75. Clear tomorrow night, low 51, and partly cloudy Wednesday with a high near 72. Then there's a chance of Thursday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 62. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
There's a resort called Give Kids the World where children with life-threatening illnesses can fill their week with pure joy. Kids and their families indulge in simple pleasures like swimming, visiting local Orlando theme parks, and eating unlimited ice cream, all for free. Call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org and help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Linda Luger, Executive Director of the United Way of Southern West Virginia. Thanks to all the United Way volunteers for the assistance they provided during the United Way 2004 campaign. Without them, we would not be able to provide the support necessary for our 20 nonprofit agencies that help those who are unable to help themselves. Due to the time spent by volunteers attending meetings, making presentations, making phone calls, asking for contributions, helping with the planning and staging of campaign events, taking time from a busy schedule to film or record a TV or radio spot, and numerous other activities, we have had a successful campaign. Without the time and effort provided by these caring individuals in Raleigh, Nicholas, Fayette, and Summers counties, this would not have been possible. Thumbs up, hats off, and thanks. Because of you, the United Way of Southern West Virginia continues to make a lasting impression on our community. If you would like to be a United Way volunteer, please contact me at 253-2111.
WWNR Beckley.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Doug Cunningham.
As Ormit announced its emergence from bankruptcy on Friday, the company also returned to the bargaining table with union officials representing nearly 1,300 striking workers. Workers, represented by the United Steelworkers of America, walked off the job at the company's two Hannibal, Ohio plants on November 22nd. The strike was called because the employees disagreed with the company's bankruptcy reorganization plan. Friday's meeting was the first time the two sides sat down since before a February 23rd hearing in U.S. bankruptcy court. The USWA and Ormit have agreed to continue discussions this week.
Hearings are scheduled April 7th in the U.S. House Ways and Means Committee on CAFTA, the Central American Free Trade Agreement. A coalition to stop CAFTA is calling on all working families to call Congress at 202-224-3121 and express opposition to the biggest free trade agreement in 10 years. Labor unions oppose CAFTA because it'll mean another round of NAFTA-like destructive jobs loss. CAFTA does not include protection for workers' rights. The AFL-CIO says the agreement will utterly fail to create good jobs and sustainable development for Central American countries. CAFTA, the AFL-CIO says, will leave working families, farmers, and the environment vulnerable while further enriching and empowering the corporate elites. 10 years of NAFTA wiped out more than 879,000 jobs, while real wages in Mexico have actually fallen, according to the Economic Policy Institute. Human Rights Watch says that workers in Central America are denied basic rights like the right to organize and collectively bargain. April 10th through the 16th will be a global week of action against CAFTA. Organizers are urging workers everywhere to join the fight.
A report from the Labor Department shows that only 110,000 jobs were created in March, fewer than expected, and the lowest number in 8 months. In addition, jobless claims last week were more than 20,000 higher than the February average. Economists say the numbers show that as the economy slows from various factors, including a surge in oil prices, employment is slowing right along with it. Here's today's Dow Bob Report. Many companies are finding it to be in their best interest to encourage fitness for their employees. Not only does it increase productivity and improve morale, it also reduces health care costs. More than half of the companies polled by the National Business Group on Health reported increased morale. 27% said they saw savings in health care.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
What if God was one of us? Just a slob like one of us. Just a stranger on the bus. Trying to make his way home. Trying to make his way home. Back up to heaven.
Welcome back. 34 and a half minutes after 7 o'clock, 25 and change before 8. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid for a Monday night. Man, you know, the Bengals saying it's just another manic Monday. Mm-mm. No, it's glad it's Monday. Especially, you know, with the... Now, come on, that was the last gasp of winter we got over the weekend, right? That was it. We're done now, right? Somebody tell me we're done with winter. It's nice outside. The forecast is looking good. We really, I was ready for winter to be over long about when the first snow flew. Maybe when the leaves fell. I'm not sure. So we're getting another visit from President Bomb Baby tomorrow in Parkersburg. He's going, this is the, you know, irony alert, bing, bing, bing. He's going to tour the Bureau of the Public Debt. If we had any sense at all, we'd just make it a little ceremony tomorrow and name the damn thing after him. The George W. Bush Bureau of the Public Debt. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? You know, president deficit and all. But, you know, there's a lot of... You know, he's coming to Parkersburg to spread some more of his filth and lies about Social Security, which apparently the American people are not swallowing. But it would be worth noting while he's doing that, what some of the real problems are. Listen to what's going to happen to poor people in West Virginia, not as a result of, well, I mean, that's down the road, as a result of what George W. Death wants to do to the budget. 374,000 children and disabled elderly people hit by cuts to Medicaid in West Virginia. 256,000 state residents hit on food stamps. 24,000 children hit on the Children's Health Insurance Program. 142,000 low-income taxpayers hammered on the Earned Income Tax Credit. 2,300 children in foster care and adoption. So much for the culture of life, huh? SSI, more than 75,000 state residents. Temporary assistance to needy families, 41,000. And meanwhile, Shelley Moore says the tax cuts for the rich will stimulate the economy. Tell that to those foster care kids, about 2,300 of them. Tell it to them. Not going to make a nickel's worth of difference to them, to the good. It might make a few thousand dollars worth of difference to them, to the bad. Tried to tell you, and a lot of us know it. This man shares nothing in common with us. He doesn't share our hard work values. He doesn't know what it is to go from month to month on a family budget. And he's going to come to Parkersburg tomorrow. What do you want to bet? People who disagree with him can't get into the public event. You realize that's going on again, right? Sure you do. Maybe here in a little bit we'll talk about what went down in Denver not too long back. Rather wonder if you pulled up to the event tomorrow in Parkersburg with a sign that says "I Love Mountains" on it, would they determine that you were some sort of liberal rabble rouser and shoo you out of the taxpayer paid event? They've been doing that, you know. They did it on the campaign, but now these are taxpayer-funded events. This isn't, they don't have the pretext of, well, this is only for people who worship George Bush. No, these are public events. What do you want to bet there is? Let's go to the phones. The phone number, of course, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. If you're listening on the internet stream at www.wwnrnewstalk620.com. Yurakmeel is with us. We haven't heard from you for a while. You're head on, Yurakmeel.
Can you read me?
Yeah, I read you loud and clear.
That's good. Let me try to get the volume up so I can hear you.
Okay.
Hope you can hear me better than I can hear you, but it's not too bad.
Well, are you on the speakerphone?
No, I'm on the handheld set now.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, I got off that speaker. I heard your gloomy presentation there of what Bush prognosis, what do you call it, the projection there, what's going to be.
Yeah, I don't mean to be gloomy, but it is what it
is. Oh, it's gloomy. I don't know. We were talking a while ago about how gloomy everything is. I just find it necessary to help, not being selfish. I try to keep in touch with God and meditate. I mean, I seek the good side. I'm not one of these people who deny, you know, the crisis. But a man deserves a little bit of happiness. But you're not going to get it from a whole lot of people.
No, a lot of it you have to make for yourself, don't you?
You forget about the politicians. Forget about them. I mean, to some extent, I must say, whenever I hear, you know, I know what's wrong with George Bush and all the Republicans. I mean, it's the same old story. But, see, I know, I saw, not everybody has seen the cruelty. They've heard about it. They hear you talking. They're so dumb, and they're so selfish, and they're so hard-hearted. They got a heart of stone, just like the Bible says. Forget about a head of brick. You know, and until it hits them, they're going to get stung. Everybody, just an acquaintance of mine, a man that I've known for years. You know, he's not very book-read and all that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
He's from Alabama. He's saying, I don't know, Rock Mill, I don't know. People, just can't they see what's wrong? You know?
Yeah.
And he doesn't have a lot of, you know, he knows something's wrong. I mean, he got to buy a tank of gas.
Yeah, right. You know,
the poor people. You know, do you have transportation to get to work? If you want a job, you can't. Oh, you suck your blood.
Yeah, I know.
Suck your blood.
And it's it. You know, we're gonna. I don't care. I mean, we know that George Bush has close friends and he's very good business interests with the Royal House of Ibn Saud. But that's not gonna. That's not. No matter what he said on the campaign trail, that's not gonna translate into better gas prices for us.
Well, there's nothing translated better for us. There's so much going on. You know, when I heard recently, I know exactly what the skinheads, and pardon me, but somebody, I just told Dr. O'Brien a little while ago, I said, I know I'm not the only one, but I say, to some extent, I am the only one, as a Jew. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Not the only person, you know what I mean? But as a Jew. I'm the only one who's fighting. Hey, Gentiles gave their lives for Jews.
Yeah.
During the reign of the Nazis. Mm-hmm. How can I sit here and keep my mouth shut?
I don't think as a moral person you can.
But I don't understand. Gentiles were supposed to be anti-Semites. They're supposed to be killing me. They gave their lives for me.
Yeah.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And here, I'm going to sit here. You should have this. Listen, subhuman. Kill all the Muslims. I take 5 million and they may rapture 3,000 of us. Etc. And one of these skinheads calls up and he says, well, there's a few of them out there. He's one of them. Because the word subhuman came out of his mouth and he tried to defend it. There's no way you can defend it.
No.
Well, I call a white man a subhuman if he did something wrong, but they never did it. Not until I twisted his arm into it.
Right.
Then he said, well, I'd be the first one to admit. He was not the first one to admit. There's people doing it now. Those people in Brazil, I just heard on the radio, those police officers went to a drive-by shooting spree. I don't know what the hell it's about. All I can say is, why are they any different? Why is the people in America who take the little girl and kind of hack her limbs off, why is that not subhuman?
Well, it is. I mean, there are monstrosities. There are monstrosities all over this country, Rockmill, but a lot of them get a pass.
But the point isn't me. See, in my book, nobody is subhuman. Oh, they're degenerate. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
If we really believe in the universal moral sense, or the Christianity says we're all, you know, God's children, that means something's wrong with the man. There's something wrong with him, but he's still a human being.
Right, he's still toting around the 36 chromosome pairs.
Yeah, you know, but something is wrong, but he's human. But when you say a certain race, and in this case, it's not, you see, they're very confused. Here's the obscurantism. It's not a race. Most Muslims are anyway not Arabs.
Right.
Et cetera. And a lot of Arabs are Christian. They don't acknowledge all of this stuff.
Of course not.
And they think
that would be, Yerachmiel, that would be inconvenient.
Well, anyway.
To acknowledge that kind of thing.
Look at this boy who went into school in Minnesota and set up a bunch of people. I was reading in the Bible how you have to be kind and gentle and loving and courteous and, you know, like it says in Jude, the Talmud, if you insult somebody, if you embarrass a person, it's such a big, horrible sin that if you read what it says in the Talmud, it's scared the hell out of you.
Yeah.
To call somebody names and to embarrass people. This boy, as soon as he walked out the door, well, I know he had personal problems, but as soon as he walked out the door, he was ready to get abused.
No, he was a walking invitation for it.
These people are just celebrating Easter now. You know, I heard on the radio celebrating Easter. I don't know what kind of Easter they celebrate, but all the years go by, all the years go by, all the days go by, all the minutes tick by, and this kid is in hell.
Yeah,
they created a hell.
Yeah, they did. And the fact that this kid got a gun how many other kids are there out there like this?
Some of them, well, not everyone's gonna you know, everyone has a different threshold.
I mean, this kid was involved with Nazi skinhead types, you know, I know for a fact the leader of one website that sells basically Nazi heavy metal music. There was a kid, a principal at a high school somewhere in West Virginia, that confiscated some of this hate music. You know, it's here too.
Yeah. And well, we don't hear enough of a forceful statement from the Islamic world about terrorism. But I don't know what more you can ask for. I mean, would you like to walk around with a sign, a button on your vest, whatever, saying, I don't kill people. If you're a doctor, okay, do you put a sign in front of your office? If you come to my office, I won't inject you with poison. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm Arab. If you come to my falafel stand, I won't give you poison.
Right. Well, on the other hand of that, though, you say that that people say the Arab world isn't doing enough, blah 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 blah. But are you aware of what the entire Islamic population of Spain did a couple of weeks ago?
Spain?
Yeah, in Spain, their chief imam issued a fatwa against Osama bin Laden and against the radical hate element of that culture and that faith. You know, they're out
there. Hear about that?
Yeah, they're out there affirmatively setting forth that they're not part of this and they want no part of this.
That's where there's a lot of things that don't get a poppy good coverage. Media doesn't.
Well, it's not nearly as exciting as the Michael Jackson trial or the Pope's funeral or Terry Schiavo's feeding
tube.
But I
believe that the media is trying to implant certain images in people's minds. This undoes those images.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right. We've got to roll on. I got a caller on hold, and I hate to make people wait too long. I'm glad to hear from you.
Oh, good. I wish to call you more, but how things go, you know.
Yeah, I do.
Rough, but I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, always good to hear from you. Take care. All right, Dave is with us. Hey, Dave, you're head on. Yep. Dave.
How are you?
Doing good, yeah?
Pretty good. I got a prediction for you, Bob. There will be no more snow this year, okay?
Okay. Please, please be right.
Yeah, really. I'm from Charleston. I travel through Beckley every now and then, and I am tuned in on the AM dial, and I enjoy your show very much. Very entertaining.
Thank you.
I have one question for you that I hope you'll answer, and it's not a sarcastic question, but are you a socialist or a communist?
Neither, actually. I'm an FDR Democrat.
FDR Democrat. Because when I listen, Bob, I hear nothing but socialist ideas coming from you.
Such as?
Well, such as when you were ripping on the president here a little bit ago, about whatever you call him, a couple names, and you talked about his health care, I believe, social security issues, and told us what it was going to do. My question to you is there any people, any persons in West Virginia that will not, in your eyes, is there anything that they can do to not qualify for a government handout?
Well, the list that I read is just poor people. I guess it's their fault for being poor. But you know, I do have a sort of modern civilized view of the role of government.
What about the food stamps?
Huh?
Food stamps.
What about them?
Well, you said how many people are going to be cut? Like 2,000?
No. Food stamps. It's the food stamp program is going to be affected, and about 256,000 state residents are on food stamps.
Yeah, wasn't food stamps when they were first introduced? Weren't they temporary? For the individual, not as a program, but weren't they supposed to be temporary help?
Well, they are to this day temporary help because they are based upon one's income level. When you get out of the hole, you get off the food stamps. Now, from the food stamp standpoint, Dave, please understand that I don't agree with the system as it's presently constituted. Because once upon a time, and I don't know if you're old enough to remember this or not, it was a program that was known as commodities. You remember
sure,
that?
I remember that.
Okay, and it was real food that the government purchased at wholesale using its governmental purchasing power and then passed out to the needy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But we made a policy decision somewhere along the way that instead of that, we wanted to issue, call them food stamps. They're vouchers. I mean, that's what they are.
Right.
And that instead of using the government's purchasing power to purchase it wholesale and thereby getting a whole lot more bang out of the buck, that we were going to inject this system into the retail world. And I don't think that Americans get the value that they once got. Now, it's just a known fact that among other, you know, food stamps is administered by the United States Department of Agriculture. And as a consequence of that, the USDA budget is being boosted for the mega farmers, the corporate farmers like Monsanto and ConAgra and Archer Daniels Midland, that crowd. And it's that budget is going to be boosted at the expense of poor people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I believe that, you know, how shameful would we be if we said, you know, this is the United States, and we'd the hell with the poor people. That, you know, let them eat dirt.
Well, I mean, Bob, you got to draw a line. Do you not agree?
What line would that be?
Well, I mean, you can't. I mean, you've got people, families, and generations of people who have been on government aid, food stamps, Medicare. I mean, at what point do we say, you know what, enough is enough? You know, you guys need to get out and support yourselves and quit looking for government handouts.
Well, I think you overestimate the number of that's a traditional, you know, hate the poor Republican talking point. I remember when Ronald Reagan would talk about welfare mothers in Cadillacs. You know, and what they are is they're red herrings. They're canards. But what it boils down to is, you know, which portion of the American people should go hungry?
Well, the only thing that I'm saying was when I listen to you, I hear that, you know, it's bad to have money. It's bad to get out and work your butt off and make a living and do well. And then, I mean, have you looked at your paychecks lately, Bob?
Yeah, I look at them every 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, me too. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, you know, and when is it going to stop?
I don't know about you, Dave. I'm getting slaughtered at the gas pump.
Well, slaughtered?
Yeah, I'm getting. I mean, my paycheck's taking a huge hit at the gas pump.
Why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is? I think, among other things, the value of the dollar is plummeting like a paralyzed falcon against the euro and the yen. Frankly, there's a lot of profit taking going on in the oil industry. I mean, did you notice last year ExxonMobil had its biggest, its most monstrous profits in its entire history?
Well, here's a fact. If we were to drill, now I know you're not going to like this, but if we would have drilled in Anwar 15 years ago, we wouldn't have this problem right now. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't. There's not.
You don't agree with that?
No, there's not enough oil up there to support our need. You know, we peaked out in 1970 at about 5 million barrels a day, and we use about 20 million and rising.
You may want to go back and look.
Now we've
what's there.
I mean, you talk.
Not only is there enough there to support us now, there's enough there to support us now for many years. And once we drill there and start building our own refineries, problem solved, basically. We're so dependent on foreign oil, it's ridiculous.
I'm
in the business.
Yeah, but do you know where the North Slope oil goes now?
Yeah, overseas.
Yeah. Guess
yeah,
where
there's
the
reason for that too.
Guess where the Anwar oil's going too?
Well, we ain't drilling what's really there yet either.
Well, the fact of the matter remains that's going to go overseas too. So we're not going to get a break at the pumps off of that either. You know,
well, that's been going overseas before George Bush was in office.
Oh, of course it has. I know that. I'm well aware of that.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is you can drive a little bit north and west, and you can drive all over the West Virginia oil fields and see capped wells. Can you not?
Well, yes, you can. I was at them today.
Right. So you know what does that say? Those aren't dry holes.
Oh yeah, there are. But I mean, you know, let's face it. I mean, we're talking oil here. You know, West Virginia's oil resources is slim to none anyway.
But I mean, that's I'm talking about, you know, what you can see in West Virginia. But you can see that all over the country.
Yeah.
The fact of the, you know, and we talk about the Middle East, and we want to exert hegemony there to control that oil. But the vast, according at least to the Department of Energy's data, we get most of our so-called foreign oil from Canada, Mexico, and Venezuela.
That's a fact. That's true. If we would have drilled in Anwar 20 years ago, we would not be seeing the problems we're having right now. That's a fact, and there's a reason why we didn't do that. Do you remember what that was?
No, not offhand.
Well, the same thing is holding it up today. and that is your, what do you call them, your tree huggers, I guess you call them?
Well, I find that very offensive, but, you know, I love trees, I love life, I love Earth. I'm trying my best to leave a decent planet for my children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to inherit.
Well, sure, I'm an avid outdoorsman. I love trees, but same way with coal, mountaintop removal. Like it or not, it's progress.
No, that's not progress. Like it or not, it's profit, but don't dare call it progress, because when you're destroying something that can never be put back the same way again, there's no way you can call that progress. In fact, that's regression.
If you look at the mountaintop removal sites and what they've done with them and what they would have been done with before, you know, there's no comparison.
Well, sometimes...
I mean, these are remote places you can't get into anyway. At least they're developing them so you can use them. There's golf courses, shopping malls. There's numerous things they've done with them.
So 4 billion gallons of toxic goo hanging over school children's head down at Marsh Fork Elementary. That's a remote location.
Well, you know, the numbers you're hearing on that are very much blown out of proportion.
And it's sitting on top of land that's already been undermined. What happens when we get a blowout there like we had in Martin County, Kentucky?
Well, what happens if we shut all of them down? I mean, let's face it, coal is keeping West Virginia going, and that's a fact.
Well, I don't know it depends on what you mean by keeping us going. It's certainly making Don Blankenship rich.
Blankenship was rich before he went.
But the fact of the matter remains, Dave, if coal's making West Virginia go, why is driving through Mingo and McDowell counties like driving through a ghost town?
Well, there's a reason for that. 74 years of Democrats owning this state, for one.
Well, actually, no, Dave. It's 74 years of coal owning this state. I don't care if you call them Democrats or Republicans, commies, anarcho-syndicalists. But the fact remains, coal has owned this state for over 100 years. It's a colonial economy, and it will never get better as long as coal owns it. I've enjoyed the conversation, though. We've got to roll. Get ready for the top of the hour news. Thanks so much. All right, this is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Hi, Dad. I'm home. Sorry about the car.
Oh, it's okay. It doesn't look as bad as it sounded on the phone.
Dad, what's wrong with your voice?
Well, since you called, I've spent the last 20 minutes in the bathroom yelling to get it out of my system.
Patience. Use it before you lose it. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
I didn't know aging would cause my body to process medications differently. I learned the hard way, but you don't have to. Call 1-800-662-HELP for the free brochure, As You Age, a guide to aging, medicines, and alcohol. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and this station.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history.
You can depend on us.
News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Thousands quickly filed past the body of Pope John Paul II, lying in state in St. Peter's Square in the wee hours of the morning. ABC's Aaron Katursky in Rome.
The floodlit St. Peter's Square is illuminated against a midnight blue sky. An image of Pope John Paul II, looking much younger, shines on big TV monitors set up around the square as tens of thousands of pilgrims file slowly into St. Peter's Basilica to have one last glimpse of John Paul.
65 cardinals met at the Vatican to work out plans for the Friday funeral and talked about when voting could start for a new pope. About 50 other cardinals are expected to arrive. Some of the flooding forcing thousands of evacuations in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York State is worse than during Hurricane Ivan last September, some officials say. Acting New Jersey Governor Richard Cody in Trenton.
We are prepared to evacuate more people today if necessary.
ABC's Michael Barr near the New Jersey-Pennsylvania border near the Delaware Water Gap.
The water is a brown, muddy, murky color. Rest areas along the interstate are underwater. Only the tips of road signs are peeking from the top of the water, and debris is floating near treetops.
At the Michael Jackson child molestation trial, testimony from a young man who says he was molested by Jackson three times when he was 10 years old. Court TV's Diane Diamond has an exclusive report for ABC News Radio from the courthouse in Santa Maria, California.
When he began to describe this to the jury, his voice caught. He said almost to himself, "Oh my God, this is harder than I thought it was going to be." The judge gave him a moment, and he took a drink of water and sort of regained his composure, and then said, "I've never told anybody that except the police. It's been haunting me all these years."
Court TV's Diane Diamond at the courthouse in Santa Maria, California. You're listening to ABC News.
Now for a traffic update, we go to Kelly Clark. Kelly, how's it looking out there?
Well, if you've got to get anywhere, I hope you have lots of time. Uh-oh. All northbound lanes at the Taylor Interchange are backed up. Westbound lanes are at a standstill, and the off-ramp near the Martin Building remains closed, causing major headaches.
Not good.
But I do have good news.
What's that, Kelly?
I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Nice shot! Time out!
Basketball's fun, but I need a cold drink.
My mom's making rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine? Let's go!
I guess the kids will be home soon.
Let's make rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Come on! Sarah's mom's making
rich chocolate Ovaltine.
All right!
My kids love Ovaltine's rich chocolate taste. And I love all those vitamins and minerals that you won't find in Nesquik powder.
Mom, we're back.
Who wants Ovaltine?
We do.
We better make more.
More Ovaltine, please.
Can't touch this, says the U.S. Supreme Court.
We hold that IRAs can be exempted. With those words, a unanimous Supreme Court said creditors cannot seize retirement savings in protected IRA accounts in bankruptcy proceedings. Social Security and disability payments and 401k retirement plans are also exempt. More than 45 million Americans have IRAs. About 1.5 million Americans file for bankruptcy every year.
ABC's Vic Ratner in Washington. Wall Street stocks closed higher. Crude oil prices briefly topped $58 a barrel before reversing course. The government says gasoline prices at the pump are at record highs for a third straight week. Two of Saudi Arabia's most wanted militants have been killed by Saudi security forces in a series of gun battles, according to the Arab TV channel Al Arabiya. Some schools are changing policies as if to say an F in any other color is not as scary. ABC's Karen Chase with that.
Some parents say when their kids see a big red F on a test, that's all they see, red. Which is why some schools are trying to soften the blow by softening the shade of the grade. Some are going with every color other than red. Like blue, to mark papers, tests, and homework assignments, saying the color red is so stressful, students don't see the message written in it. In fact, some marker makers are pumping out more purple pens to meet the demand. Color them. Flexible. Karen Chase, ABC News.
This is ABC News.
Can a moderate leadership emerge in a post-Arafat Palestinian society in which children are recruited to be suicide bombers? Will the U.S. play a greater role in the quest for peace in the Middle East? There's no better way to stay in touch than by reading The Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. Try 4 weeks free. You'll be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Write cancel on the bill and keep the four issues. Call now for The Forward. 800-626-4100. That's 800-626-4100. 26-4100.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Hey, welcome back. 5 minutes after 8 o'clock, I'm Bob. I would encourage you to call in, but we're jammed right now. Still, for future reference, 252-6200 is the local number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-629-9967. Just some numbers for your consideration. And this is one of the disturbing things about the conservative side. They're always willing to, and I'm not. They're willing to decide that there's a segment of the population that, damn them, can just go hungry. Tired of feeding them. They're not American enough to eat. And, you know, and that some of God's mountains should be blown up. They're just sitting there being mountains. They're not doing anything. They're not making a profit. Since the early 1970s, approximately 380,000 acres of West Virginia 320,000 acres of Kentucky and 90,000 acres of Virginia have been destroyed for coal. Now, some of the valley fills from mountain range removal operations have over 300 million tons of mining debris, and they go downstream from their headwaters as far as 6 miles. Thanks to mountain range removal, more than, get this, 1,900 miles of streams have been either buried or hopelessly degraded, obliterated as a result of valley fills. And they constitute the largest earth so-called structures in North America. And, well, you know, the flash flooding is there. You know, what a bonus it all is. Thank God it's progress. How do you call that progress? How do you call murdering Jeremy Davidson, 3 years old, laying in his bed, a multi-ton boulder dropped on him because a bulldozer was building an illegal haul road to a strip mine? Is that progress? Does that constitute progress? Well, it's the price of progress, Bob. Nah, it's murder. I like, you know, Occam's razor. The simplest answer is most often the correct one. It's murder. It's not progress. You got to jump through too many hoops to call it progress. About 1,200 miles of streams downstream from mountain range removal operations are nigh destroyed by sedimentation and heavy metal pollution. Yeah, I'll hug a tree. A tree's alive. Coal ain't. But it makes life better for some people, don't it? Sure enough. Makes life lots better. But they're still not going to hook that U-Haul to the hearse. Let's go back to the phones. Ben is with us. Hey, Ben.
Hey there.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. You know, the fellow who was just on before the break, I think was named Dave.
Yeah.
You know, he was saying how huge the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge Oil Reserve is.
Yeah, that's not my understanding.
Okay, now here, I'm looking at the Department of Energy's website here, and it said the projected that for the mean resource case, 10.3 billion barrels technically recoverable, ANWR peak production rates could range from 1.0 to 1.35 million barrels per day, with initial ANWR production possibly beginning around 2010 and peak production 20 to 30 years thereafter.
And that's for 10 billion barrels.
That's for 10 billion barrels. Now,
aggregate.
Right now we are using around 20 billion barrels a day.
Million or billion?
Million.
Okay.
20 million barrels a day. The total amount we use in a year right now, based on just multiplying 20 times 365, is 7.3 billion. So we use essentially everything that's in ANWR in a single year, a year and 3 months.
Right, and that is, and that would be assuming then that oil consumption rates remain flat, and we know they're not gonna.
Well,
they're gonna go up.
Well, actually, you know, there's a very interesting thing that starts happening, you know, as part of what they're going to call, they call the great die-off. And that is our oil production rates will drop and we'll go back to basically living in unheated homes and things like that.
And it's not that, well, if this new book that's coming out in May is any indication, The Long Emergency by the, I can't remember his first name, last name's Kunstler, If what he says has any validity at all, the scene you're describing isn't 100 years down the road. It's
no,
10,
it's
15,
coming.
It's 20.
Look, I started warning people about this very thing back in 1972.
Yeah.
When I read Limits to Growth, the Club of Rome's really wonderful simulation of what happens in a finite Earth when you continue to exploit your resources in a nonlinear way?
It leads to disaster.
It leads to disaster. And, I'll be damned, but I'm certain I no longer have my old copy of Limits to Growth, and I'm going to have to buy a new one. But I am certain there was a graph that you could probably lay right up against where we are now that shows everything reaching this disgusting climax about 5-6 years from now, and industrial production falling off, and life expectancy falling off, and pollution going up, and food production per capita going down. Essentially what has to happen under that scenario is you can't find a way out of it. And by doing nothing new, you will not find a way out of it.
Right.
The scenario is based upon doing exactly what you're doing now and continuing to do it. The scenario does not include any technological help. It doesn't include us building windmills everywhere, or any of the other good stuff that might rescue us.
Right.
All right. However, right now we are on this same course. We are doing essentially nothing in the way of alternative energy, and we are sucking the ground dry of oil. And there is a point at which things get really bad for us if we keep doing that.
Well, I hate to play the doom and gloom card, but it is what it is. There's a point where you use the phrase die off.
Yeah, well, most of us are going to die.
Black plague kind of numbers, if not worse.
Worse. Right now, there's about 6 billion people on the planet. That'll probably peak out at about 7.5 billion people. And then probably in a century from now, it'll be less than a billion.
Wow.
That large, I mean, we're talking, 90% decimation of human population, and perhaps even more than that.
Well, and when pressures reach critical mass, so to speak, don't you also have a higher likelihood of large-scale, horrifying, beyond all expectations, warfare?
Well, yeah, as the people who have the means to fight attempt to take the last of the energy and other resources from the people who they perceive not to have the means to fight, inevitably you'll have two superpowers coming into conflict over the same morsel.
In other words, the Middle East, and that would be China and us.
Yeah.
I mean, that's that's the reason for the 14 permanent bases in Iraq.
Well, there's another superpower that nobody talks about.
Okay.
That's the ESA. That's Europe.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, they've got nuclear weapons, intercontinental ballistic missiles, and like most of the world's technical smarts.
And they're not going to let their people suffer any more than we'll be willing to.
No.
I forget the it was a CIA estimate I read a month or so ago. That said, what, by 2020, the United States on its current path could cease to be a world player?
The thing is, I think that's true, but also understand that in the future we're talking about here, there are no world players.
True.
Okay? The only power your nation will be able to project will be what you can manage to project using soldiers walking on the ground.
And that makes, it's almost that's China.
Well, yeah, except getting China, we're very safe from China in that respect because getting here is so hard.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about when they go for the Middle East.
That's theirs if they want it.
There's
no doubt in my mind that they could overwhelm their entire continent, and probably will. Okay.
Yeah.
But the only power you'll be able to project after that will be either using an intercontinental ballistic missile, probably something that's a relic of when there was oil, or what kind of vessel you can build that sails with the wind.
We'll have the nuclear powered vessels for a while, I believe.
That's to be hoped, but nuclear energy depends on a lot of things that require a lot of coal and a lot of oil.
That's true,
you can't make the high-quality steel to c- continue to keep boats like that operating. And remember, you know, they reach a certain point where reactors get too brittle to use.
Yeah. About a 20-year lifespan?
Just about, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of it sounds like the opening scenes from a Mad Max movie.
Well, you know, if we don't want to have Thunderdome, if we don't want that to be our future, we've got to do some things now, and damn it, I don't care if George Bush doesn't.
Yeah, sure.
It's got to be done. Someone's got to do them. We got to step up and we got to take it by the bull by the horns and say, we have got to come up with some other way to keep the gears turning.
And I agree with you, Ben. If George did it, I would laud him for it.
Yes.
But he doesn't have that kind of political guts.
I would love to have some reason to praise the man just once, so that at least I can't, I won't have to lie to people when I say, you know, when they say, well, tell me one thing he's done good. You don't think he's done anything good. And I think, well, I can't say nice suit, because that doesn't really fit. His suits are terrible.
And they've got the lump in the back.
And they got that lump in the back, you know. I'm sorry, you can't cover up a full set of ballistic Kevlars with anything.
No.
He might as well just walk around with his suit draped over his arm wearing his Kevlars, because at least that looks cool.
Well, you know, back when he announced the idea of reaching toward Mars, I said some good stuff about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Well, yeah, that sort of plan is something that only a prosperous United States could pull off, or even a prosperous, you know, world space authority of some description. It really did remind me, even at the time, of some of those wonderful architectural plans that Hitler reviewed while sitting in his bunker in 1945.
Yeah, in April.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and again, rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
So, but again, you know, have you read this Rolling Stone article yet, Ben?
No, we used to subscribe, but we haven't in a while.
I'll try to send you the link when I get an opportunity. The fellow's last name is Kunstler.
Okay.
And the name of it is The Long Emergency, and we've been talking about it back and forth for about a week now. And one of the things he says is that, you know, we can do some stopgap stuff right now, such as, you know, cutting our energy consumption in our homes themselves. By simple things, you know, solar, passive solar, wind, geothermal, but even that is a far cry from a fix. And he refers to hydrogen fuel cells as a cruel hoax.
They are. Hydrogen is not a fuel. It is an energy storage medium. A fuel cell is just like any other kind of, you know, battery. Really,
you have to come up with the hydrogen. And
right.
The way you come up with the hydrogen is either fossil fuel intensive. Well, any way you slice it, it's fossil fuel intensive, even if you're doing electrolysis of water.
Well, things you got to do, first of all, you have to keep yourself from needing so much fossil fuel. We've built ourselves a civilization that is broad and flat. And you can only do that if you've got a transportation media like the automobile.
Right.
We need to re-centralize our cities. Cities need to go straight up. You know, cities need to start being built with, as public transportation, their first goal.
Right. And, well, like I said, I will send you to the link to this, and I think you'll really find it fascinating. Ben, we've got to hit a break.
You take care.
All right, thanks so much.
Bye.
A lot of truth there. And, you know, it's a choice between fiddling while Rome burns or trying to at least take small steps here and there, replacing traditional incandescent bulbs with those corkscrew-looking fluorescent ones. When you can afford it, changing out an old appliance for a newer, less energy-consumptive one. It can be done. And what Ben was talking about as far as someone with the political will to make these changes, I agree with him. If Bush had the guts to do it, I would commend him for it. He doesn't have the guts, so I don't have to worry about doing that. But in a conversation with my father about all this, he said, what you're talking about is what the nation went through with the rationing of that was prevalent during the Second World War, only about 100 times worse. And I think he's right. How about you? Listen, let's do take that break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Head On.
Around the block, just up your street, we're the neighbors you should meet. There are lives we live and dreams we share. We drive your streets and we're always there.
Did you know after age 65, almost 3 out of 4 of us may need some form of long-term care? That's why there's long-term care insurance from State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. It offers the care options important to you, like in-home care. And who better to talk to about it than your local State Farm agents? For costs and complete coverage details, call Don Bowling in Oak Hill, Maria Dooley in Richwood, or Regina Echo in Hinton. Statistics cited in long-term care, knowing the risk, paying the price. Health Insurance Association of America, 1997.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's time for the Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night. It happens Saturday, April 9th, starting at 6:30 at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center. Come join us for a night of games, food, and a silent auction. Tickets are $50 per person. For tickets, just call 763-4720. 763-4720. All proceeds donated to Raleigh County Commission on Aging Adult Daycare Facility. Beckley Rotary Club's Monte Carlo Night, Saturday, April 9th at Glade Springs Resort Conference Center.
A man who just loves conservatives, baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 24 minutes after 8 o'clock. And right back to the phones. Jeff's with us. Hey, Jeff, you're Head On.
How you doing?
Doing good.
Well, we're only really, when it comes to the Alaska oil going overseas, we're really only telling half the story about that, ain't we?
How so?
If we had a pipeline for that Alaska oil to come to the United States, what would happen to it when it crossed the Canadian border, like in Montana or Idaho or Minnesota or wherever the pipeline would come from? What would happen to it when it hit the United States?
I don't know. What are you talking about?
It would just sit there because we can't do anything with it. We don't have the refineries to turn it into gasoline.
Really? We don't?
No, we don't.
So that was that refinery fire in Houston a week or so ago. That was just a figment of my imagination.
out all they can, and they can't make enough to run the United States the way it is. If you pump more oil out of the ground, it's just going to sit here.
Okay, so there's no profit motive whatsoever in sending the North Slope oil to, say, Japan.
Sure there is. That's why they do it.
Okay.
But he wasn't talking
profit. It's about greed and not about Americanism.
Profit and greed is two different things. But you're talking like because we send that Alaska oil to Japan, that's making gas prices go up here when really, in essence...
No, I didn't say it. No, Jeff. I didn't say it makes gas prices go up here.
What
I didn't say that
do?
By any stretch of the imagination.
If we
No, I was simply saying that the same thing is going to happen with the Anwar oil that happens with the North Slope oil, and that means it's going to Asia.
So if we take a million barrels out of Alaska and send it to Asia, that means Asia doesn't buy a million barrels from the Middle East, which puts another million barrels on the open market. That everybody can buy out of, and it drives the price down. It's still a million barrels in the world pool.
I understand that, and we have a vested interest in keeping the Japanese economy. You know, they don't have any oil at all, and we have interest in keeping the Japanese
economy.
And
we talk about our trade
and
balance.
You know, we're subsidizing Walmart with what we do in China, so we've got a vested interest in keeping China well oiled. I understand that.
But, you know, we talk about trade imbalance. golly, 1 million barrels a day exported at $50 a barrel? There's how many billions of dollars a year is that is that equalizes the trade imbalance?
But I think you're missing for the forest for the trees, Jeff, for the simple reason that what we were talking about with the Anwar oil was the fact that we are going through all of this to get it when there's not that much to get.
Well, you know, a million barrels a day, I mean, if you had it every bit here, it wouldn't last but about a year and a quarter, year and a half. But they're only going to get 1 million barrels a day, and they'll get 1 million barrels a day for 30 years out of that place. You know, that's a long, long time to pump. Because even though it's all down there, and if you said every bit of it, but you can't use exclusively, you can only get what you can get. And they can pump 1 million barrels a day for over 30 years out of that place. You know, and that's a long time. You know, there isn't any wells in the world that pumps 20 million barrels a day.
We're learning about. Have you read about peak oil yet, Jeff?
Yeah, I know.
And what we're finding out is that the Saudis may be facing that right now. They're not putting it out there for.
Well, see, that's why we have to. You can probably remember me saying that I don't want to do the Anwar before.
Yeah.
If you think carefully.
Yeah.
But I do realize that as we do burn it up, we have to find these new places. Because the bottom line is, what anybody wants to say, the bottom line is 82 million barrels out of the ground every day, and 81.6 million barrels used every day. That's the bottom line. And you either have to make the first number go up or the second number go down. And if we don't make the 82 go up, eventually this price, the 230 at the pump, that itself is going to be what makes the price go down, because we're going to reduce consumption. And, you know, and everybody listen to this, and, you know, I'm not picking on you, but I'll just ask you, because you're the only person I can talk to unless Taylor wants to pick up the phone. have you said, I'm not going there. I'm not burning the gas.
Yes.
Okay.
I do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, I have one trip a day that I have to make, Jeff.
Are you trying to reduce your consumption?
As much as I possibly can. I've got that big old gas guzzling Dodge pickup truck. Okay, I start it and let it run once a week, just to keep it healthy. To keep the gasoline in the tank from turning into varnish. I don't drive it.
Like,
okay?
Say a trip to the state fair. Would you say, well, you know, the state fair is not a necessity. If we don't make it to the state fair, we're not going to get sick, you know, or vacations.
Right now, the way
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, right now, the way we're running things in our household, Jeff, mm-hmm. there is one trip per day that our car has to make.
I understand.
And this is it.
Yeah.
And if we need a gallon of milk, we don't go out and get it in the morning. I bring it home at night.
Right, that's what we all need to be doing, and you know, some changes are going to come, and I think the price itself is going to drive down consumption.
No, you're missing one little factor in here, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
The value of the dollar.
Well,
dropping.
You know, it goes up and it goes down.
But there's one other.
But that's not what's making the barrel go up.
It has an impact on it, because when the value of the dollar goes down, it costs more dollars to buy the oil. You understand?
The other
side of that coin is that as the dollar drops, the OPEC nations are going to be more and more inclined to tie their purchase to the euro.
Well,
you know,
no,
Saddam
they're not going to do that.
Saddam tried that, and we murdered Iraq for it.
They're not going to do that.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because they're just not.
Right now, the euro is a much more stable currency than that.
Well, yeah, and then when we tell them, well, then you just run your little world bank with your euros. They're not going to let them do that.
The World Bank has nothing to do with the World Bank is for third world nations and
I know that, but we back that, and we'll tell them Europeans. We'll stop them. We'll tell them, well, then you can back the World Bank since your little euro is so strong, and you don't want to fool with our dollar no more.
No, the Europeans aren't going to be the ones doing it to us, Jeff. It's going to be OPEC. It's their call.
Well, but they depend on the World Bank and stuff like that. We won't let them do that.
I mean, I'm not into the high finance game, but I can understand enough of it done with small, you know, little short words that there's a mess here in the making. You know, the Chinese yuan is tied to the dollar.
Yeah, I know. That's illegal. They're not supposed to be doing that.
Right, and its value is artificially maintained.
Maybe that's a... Well, it's fallen, too, though.
Well, it fall. You know, when
it's
we...
It's attached to ours.
Yeah,
so really, this could be a ploy to make them stop that.
Oh, I
you know, they'll eventually
that.
Quit. But I've seen a Chevrolet is coming out with a mild hybrid full-size Silverado that's supposed to get 15% more mileage. I'd like to see a vehicle, which I'm not, you know, I hear this like the guy before me, you know, talking, oh, we're not going to have heat for our house and this and all this doomsday stuff. It's not going to happen. Man, we've got rivers.
Oh, it might not happen in your life.
It's not going to happen because we've got rivers. We could dam these rivers and make enough electricity for all of North America if we wanted to. We just don't. But, you know, it's refineries is the thing. You know, we haven't built a refinery in almost 20 years because, it's simply put, it's easy enough for them to import gasoline from England than it is to build a...
Just like in the 1850s, it was cheaper to send your laundry via ship literally to China and have them laundered and shipped back than it was to pay to have it done in Frisco.
Well, I don't know.
It's the same mercantilist approach.
But they...
But
know,
it's also the grasshopper and the ant, Jeff.
They can't build a refinery here and make gasoline cheaper than they can get it from Canada and England.
And Venezuela and Mexico.
But we're not getting gasoline from them.
There was a refinery fire in Venezuela last week. Not the one in Houston, the one in Venezuela.
Yeah.
And futures prices for gasoline.
Yeah, but that's oil still. An oil refinery can make gasoline go up. But, you know, the reason the refineries we have, and it's going to get worse.
Yeah, it is.
If these refineries come offline or get old and things like that, you know, they're going to not be as effective. Our clean air standards, the only reason they're operating is because they're grandfathered in under the old rules. The new rules that we have right now are so strict that, you know, we can't.
Nah, this is America, Jeff. We can do anything we set our minds to. I mean, that's what I hear from the Republican
right
all the
time. I'd like to see a car that the trunk and the hood and the roof was a solar panel, and that captured energy off the disc, which some cars do that right now off the disc brakes.
Yep.
But, you know, so people, you know, women and men that are just like you, your car that you go from your house to the radio station and home and pick up, you're not pulling trailers with coal and logs, you know, not pulling big heavy weights.
No.
You could have a vehicle that when the sun was on it, it was charging it. When you pull up to a red light or a stop sign, you let off the gas, it shuts down. And while it's sitting there shut down, it's charging. When you
well,
take,
what we're going
to... You know, we're going to have to... And everybody can't use that kind of stuff, but people are going to... You know, we need stuff like that, and they just don't want to... American... If anybody gives it to us, it's going to be the Japanese. Ford and Chevrolet are light years behind on...
Right, because... The Japanese and the Europeans... for instance, you know, Volkswagen and Toyota and Honda, they have a vested interest in developing these things because there is a public outcry for them in their home countries.
And let me throw one other thing out there. We was talking about the subsidies. You know, you talk about cutting food stamps but not cutting the subsidies to the ConAgras and the Archer Daniels Midland.
No, no, no. What they're doing is they're cutting the food stamp subsidies and shifting that money to corporate farm subsidies.
But if they didn't subsidize those big farmers, it would make our food a whole lot more expensive and make the poor not be able to afford it on that end either. Kind of like gasoline. If we quit subsidizing oil,
right, and that's my beef with the food stamp process to begin with, because why, you know, what's wrong with passing out, you know, buying the food wholesale and passing it out, as opposed to putting those tax dollars into the retail stream so that you know, poor people can go and
I don't think they had any way of checking who come and got the food. I think people that were perfectly able to buy their own food was going to get it.
No.
But
Jeff, we got to roll, man. I'm way over my break.
Okay. Thanks
later.
A lot, man.
Sure. All right. Bottom of the hour break. A little bit past the bottom of the hour. Sorry. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
get on.
Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Preparations are underway in Wood County for the arrival of President Bush tomorrow. He'll visit Parkersburg for the third time in less than a year. First two visits in May and September of last year were part of the Republicans' reelection campaign, and tomorrow he will be talking about the problems with Social Security. Meanwhile, the Bush administration's desire to zero out money allotted from the Justice Assistance Grant Program could prove damaging to the Regional Drug Task Force that serves Raleigh and Fayette County. Trident Coordinator Ronnie Booker said the task force uses that money to pay officers overtime. He said Trident operates mainly from its asset forfeiture funds, items and money captured as a result of its investigations, vehicles and operation expenses. Money used by undercover agents to buy drugs come from that money, and because of those funds, Trident is financially stable. Perhaps an even more painful result would be the problem communities would face should drug law enforcement funding result in fewer drug arrests. The Bush administration has said it wants to dedicate funds correctly, or rather currently used by West Virginia's Regional Drug Task Force, to programs under the Department of Homeland Security. Governor Manchin, who has repeatedly pledged support for small rural community-based schools, is scheduled to lead his first school building authority meeting this evening. Manchin gained authority to oversee the SBA after the legislature approved his reorganization bill in a special session earlier this year. A Mercer County man has been charged in connection with the shooting death of another man at his residence. 58-year-old James Constantino was arrested yesterday and now being held at Southern Regional Jail. He's accused in the death of Pat Brownman, who lived in the same Unity Road residence. The shooting is thought to have occurred Friday morning, but was not reported till Sunday morning. No other details were available today. The Mercer County Sheriff's Office is investigating. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Sunny, temperatures mid-50s to around 60. Tonight then clear with the low mid-40s. Tomorrow sunny, high near 75. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Even if you're a hardcore Republican, even if you're so enraptured by George W. that you get goosebumps at the mere mention of his name, is there no level of political sleaze being resorted to by the GOP leadership that will make even you gag? Take the Terri Schiavo case. For years, the issue of whether her feeding tube should be removed has bounced from six different Florida courts, to Governor Jeb Bush's office, to the Florida legislature, up to the state Supreme Court, now all the way to the White House and Congress, which stuck their noses into this state matter and autocratically shifted jurisdiction over it to federal courts. This is about defending a life, George W.'s press flack declared piously. Well, for Republican political operatives, it's actually been about politics, for she has represented a golden opportunity to curry favor with the Christian right wing, which seized upon Terry's case as a rallying point for their opposition to the Right to Die with Dignity movement. As her case was being rushed to Washington, the GOP Senate leadership circulated a secret one-page memo to its members, gleefully noting that their power grab over the case would pay big dividends with the party's core supporters. Unfortunately for them, the memo was leaked to the media, and their crass opportunism was revealed. Distributed right out of the offices of the party's Senate leaders, the memo says the pro-life base will be excited that the Senate is debating this important issue, adding, "This is a great political issue." The memo even gets specific, not on the matter of morality, but on politics, noting that the political byplay around Terry's case could damage next year's re-election chances for Florida's Democratic Senator Bill Nelson. This is Jim Hightower saying, no matter how you feel about the terrible plight of Terri Schiavo, there's another moral issue at play here, and that's the deep immorality of Washington politicians who are so willing to use her in such a gross graft for partisan gain.
A message from the American Library Association and Bernie Mac about the hard times facing our nation's libraries.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America's Libraries. For more information, visit the American Library Association website at www.ala.org.
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. A little late getting to that break, so a little late coming back. My apologies. 18 minutes before 9 o'clock. Monday is running away like a racehorse. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris, you're head on. What's happening?
My fellow Americans, the attack from the Vatican will come in a mushroom cloud. I can just hear him saying that. I hear he's been talking to Karl Rove saying, well, Karl, why couldn't they appoint a Presbyterian over there? You know, a good God-fearing Presbyterian over at the Vatican.
Oh, brother. I can hear that happening.
I can too. It's scary.
And the Bob Jones people have just got to be worked about him going, because what? I don't think an American president's ever gone to a pontiff's funeral. Something I think I heard over the weekend.
Well, you think it's just the fact that Jerry Falwell was recently in the hospital. He was resting up because he knew the Pope was going to die.
Well, yeah,
and he was hoping.
At least, you know. But see, that shows that, you know, regardless of how you feel about the particular aspects of the dogma and the doctrine, John Paul believed in it.
Yeah.
You know, they could have crammed a garden hose down his throat like they did with that fat pig Falwell.
Yeah.
But he said no. He said, you know, I'm ready to meet Jesus. Falwell isn't, because Falwell knows the only meeting he'll have with Jesus is for Jesus to say, get away from me, you wicked and accursed, and shoop, boom, onto, you know, right,
like,
right onto the barbecue spit. Yeah.
It'd be kind of like an off-ramp. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, don't slow down, just keep going.
Have you heard the battle cry? Time delay is the way to go astray.
Oh, yeah, and something. What do you think? How about that, Chris? Him threatening the life of judges.
Oh, my goodness.
If you did that, where would you be right now?
I wouldn't be on the phone with you, I can tell you.
No, you'd be wearing some orange an orange jump shoes and some little shower jumpsuit and some little shower shoes and shuffling around in manacles and leg irons. And the FBI
getting in touch with my physical side by force.
Yeah.
You know.
But, you know, Tom DeLay does it.
Eh.
Yeah, if I said something like that on the air, I'd have friends waiting for me. You know, friends with little earpieces and dark suits and badges and...
Well, the Echelon listening post up in upper part of the state.
Exactly. But, no, good godly Republican threatens the life of judges. Oh, well, you know. He can do that.
Well, you know, they used to do that to Martin Luther King all the time, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he was a... let's not even go there. When I used to live in Texas, I lived in Texas twice before, I saw so many oil wells over there, just sitting there.
Yeah, capped.
Just sitting there, dust building up, you know. I don't know, in Oklahoma too. Oh my goodness, there's so many that are, it's like, you know, we're talking about, oh, you know, we got a gene splice to food because, you know, we got to make it more multiple. How many farmers are they paying not to grow stuff?
Well, how many family farms are now tract houses and McMansions and such as that?
Yeah.
I emailed you the link to the Rolling Stone article, and he makes that point. A whole lot of our farmland has become suburbia, and we're going to pay for it.
You know, in the past, we called it urban sprawl.
Yeah.
Well, I forget the term. about, calling something one thing and it truly being another.
Yeah.
Now, that article is just about terrifying.
Yeah, and I'm the book comes out in May.
Hey, I believe every single word of it. We've seen it. We've seen it evolving over time. And I tell you, we have just got to do something. And the choices are there. We know what can be done. And like you've said, the only chance we have is to get a true Democrat.
Yeah.
And the one that believes in the old party and not a...
Go along, get along.
Go along, get along, middle of the road, quote unquote, progressive.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta get more towards all these Democrats that are going, we gotta make peace with these Republicans so we can get stuff done. No.
You'll get stuff done, but what gets done you won't like, and you'll be sore the next morning.
Oh, who cares, man? They're getting money from the lobbyists, so what do they care?
Sure. You know, there's an element of can't tell the difference between the two without a scorecard with, you know, with the moderate Republicans and the moderate Democrats. You know, they're just, they get their checks cashed on K Street, and
yeah,
they are what they are.
I read somewhere one time that by the second or third term, a congressman should be a millionaire by all the money the lobbyists throw at him.
You know, and they're almost, by the time they get to the third term, they're also almost unstoppable.
Yeah. And the political machine of the grand old party, you know, will just absolutely do like what they did to John McCain, you know. What Bush said about McCain, and then McCain just sat there and said, you shouldn't say that. Bush goes, yeah, that's right, I shouldn't say it. Went out and said more.
But I'm gonna.
But I'm gonna, and you're gonna like it. Nothing's more pathetic in our government than John McCain.
Oh, I got no respect for him at all.
Sad, sad case.
But there's hundreds of them under the Capitol Dome in Washington, and more like them under the various Capitol Domes of the several states. Chris,
McCain reminds me of Jesse Jackson. He really does.
Oh, I'm not real happy with Jesse right now either.
No, I'm not either.
Showing up.
That was ridiculous.
It was pathetic. I mean, it was.
That's a good word for it.
It was a desperate attempt to be relevant. If you go to this was pointed out to me by another listener, our friend David. If you go to the Tennessean.com,
yeah,
Rick Horowitz has had a great article yesterday in yesterday's paper down there. Here comes Jesse, whether you want him or not.
Yeah.
And you ought to go and find it. It's a real hoot. Tennessean.com.
Well, for all the good that Jesse could do.
Yeah, I know.
He's not doing it. I mean, he's... You know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, if anybody would have said that Al Sharpton was doing today what he's doing, you wouldn't have believed him.
No, I mean, Al Sharpton was said to be done with the Tawana Brawley affair.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they said, well, that, you know, just write him off. No. Oh, Al's doing some good stuff these days.
He's trying.
He's trying, yeah. And Jesse's just getting back to, oh, goodness.
It was pathetic. Hey, Chris, I got to run. Got to take another call.
Always
good to hear from you.
All right.
All right, we'll see you. All right, and Jim. Hey, Jim, you're head on.
Well, hello there.
How you doing?
I've been in seclusion.
Have you really?
Listen, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
You think they have daylight savings time in Transylvania? Well, I think it'd be unfair if they did.
Well, it would be discriminatory, wouldn't it?
I certainly would. You know, I'm in one of those moods. If you don't have anything good to say about anybody, come and sit by me tonight. Well, you know, poor John Paul, bless his heart, and he's gone, and he belongs to the ages.
Right.
But now I understand they're going to take Pope John the 23rd and move him and put John Paul in his subterranean vault.
So what is this, the pontifical shuffle?
Well, I don't know where they're going to put John the 23rd. And, you know, this is one pontiff that I really admired a great deal because, you know, he basically instituted Vatican II.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in my estimation, John Paul basically tried to negate Vatican II.
In many ways.
And was extremely reactionary. And, well, that, all that aside, I guess the old curia will decide that, or the papal chamberlain or whomever. And then, now Poland wants his heart to be buried there. They want to take his heart out and bury it in Poland.
What part of him do the Schindler family get?
Well, now listen to this. Now, they have, I've been in Rome and not Georgia.
Right, I understand. I've been there too.
I am very glad that I'm not in Rome this week, I'll tell you. Very glad. But anyway, they have, I think it's St. Teresa's Church in Rome, but they have the organs of certain pontiffs in jars.
Charming.
That are on display.
Clear glass jars?
Yeah.
I missed that one on the tour, Jim. I'm kind of glad about it.
Well, I did. And, you know, I thought this is just kind of strange. And this leads me to another thing. Now, last year, I wrote a survey of all American Roman Catholics, and almost half of them do not subscribe to transubstantiation, which is a core belief of the Church.
Right.
Now, they made a poll on CNN today that 78% of them do not believe in the most recent late pontiff's position on birth control. 78% of American Roman Catholics don't believe in that. I mean, Pope John Paul II was a great salesman and a great actor. And by the way, did you hear Nancy Reagan's little speech about that?
Some of it I did, yeah.
How she compared her husband with John Paul II?
Yeah.
You heard that?
Yeah.
Well, that's when I had to get the Imitrol. You remember she said, well, you know, he and Ronnie were so much alike because...
They were both actors.
Both actors, and they were both sportsmen, and even Ronnie could lecture him on the evils of Catholicism. And I thought to myself, good Lord, how could Reagan lecture the Pope on the evils of Catholicism when the latter gentleman was a boy, when the Nazis occupied his home country, and then right after that, Stalin took over and made it part of the Iron Curtain. And Reagan could lecture him on the evils of that type of, those types of regimes?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to trade prescriptions with her doctor.
Because she's getting the good stuff.
I don't know. Tell Chris I'd like to get his email some of his prescriptions, too. But I like Chris. I think Chris is great. And I did read his book and tell him that listening place is up in Sugar Hill.
Yeah. Yeah, Sugar Hill.
You know, this Pope that just died... You know, number one, he had a lot of advantages. Number one, he had the second longest pontificate in the history of the Church, okay?
Right.
Next to St. Peter. I think St. Peter was like 35, according to tradition.
Right.
He had the advantage of planes and all kinds of means of communication where he could really get to people. I mean, he has a huge plane called Shepherd One.
Right.
And he could, of course, travel around. I mean, I remember when he came to Camden Yards in Baltimore, and, you know, he was a very good actor and a very good salesman for the Catholic doctor.
Knew how to work the crowd.
He had to work the crowd.
But you know what, the fact remains, and, you know, this kind of falls under the rubric of if you can't say, you know, never speak ill of the dead. There's no direct connection, but you can't get around the fact that he turned a blind eye to the sex scandals in the Church, to the point, you know, the bishops still can't come to a firm conclusion on what you do with a kitty diddling priest.
Yeah, that still remains a problem, and it hasn't quite been solved yet, has it?
No, and I mean, nor I mean if I mean what he appointed all but three voting members of the cardinal at conclave. So whoever you get is going to be as conservative.
Well, he saw
or
that.
More so.
Well, that was done with that in mind. He wasn't
right.
Stupid in seeing that his doctrines would be you know, further enforced and carried out after his demise.
And it's kind of frightening, Jim, that one of the guys who they say is, you know, might be the default election is this
the German guy.
No. I think he's Archbishop in Milan or something. But he is tightly connected to Opus Dei, and that is a frightening bunch.
I know. I'll tell you, there are two books that you should read. As far as, and maybe you probably read them, because I think you're a pretty well-read fella. I really do.
Thank you.
The first is The Journal of a Soul about John 23rd, who was a genuinely wonderful man. I mean, Cardinal Roncalli, before he became Pope, was a wonderful man, and he was a great Pope. He really was.
Yeah.
And the other is about Pius XII, called Hitler's Pope by Cornwell.
Right. I've read about that one. Not exactly a pretty picture.
No, but I certainly hope that they did a better job with poor John Paul II than they did with Pius XII, because I understand that during Pius XII's funeral, that because the intestines were not properly dealt with, there were so many eructations coming from the coffin that it sounded like Gabriel's horn.
Oh, Jim.
I'm serious. And also that some of the papal Swiss guards were literally passing out. I mean, it is a book. It is a good read.
I'll go to the library and see if they can get their hands on it for me.
Well, it's a very good read, but you know
what you described though. So much of Mark Twain's wonderful stuff is available on the internet.
Well, I remember when Paul the Sixth.
There's a thing called the Invalid's Tale, Jim.
Right.
And you will. I mean,
it is a book. It is a good read.
I'll go to the library and see if they can get their hands on it for me.
Well, it's a very good read, but you know.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
From ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Cardinals decreed that the body of Pope John Paul II remain on view at St. Peter's Basilica for 3 days and three nights until his burial in the Basilica Grottoes. Tens of thousands file past, according to ABC's David Wright in Rome.
Originally, the plan was to shut the line down overnight and take a break. But officials are apparently now considering keeping the line open all night long. And despite the huge crowds that we saw on Monday, there are expected to be even more people on Tuesday.
In a Los Angeles church, ABC's Lisa Hernandez says there's talk about the future.
Churchgoers at this downtown cathedral have a limit on what they want modernized. They weren't 100% sure on ideas like allowing priests to marry or allowing women into the priesthood. But they also added there is always room for change if it betters the church.
If the Holy Spirit enlightened them to change, I am for the change.
A former alleged victim of Michael Jackson testified at the pop star's trial, ABC's Alex Stone, at the courthouse in Santa Maria, California.
The 24-year-old told the jury Jackson molested him three times. He said it started when he was 7 years old. Legal experts say the man appeared to be credible. Reporter Jim Murray was in the courtroom.
His voice broke a number of times. He appeared very nervous. He had to take water. He started to cry.
Prosecutors are trying to show Jackson has a history of molesting young children.
Apparently, testing and suspensions haven't stopped steroids in baseball yet.
A day after suspending Tampa Bay outfielder Alex Sanchez for 10 days for violating the new drug testing policy, Major League Baseball announced that 38 minor league players have failed their drug tests. The commissioner's office says one suspension stems from off-season testing, but the rest came from the 925 tests conducted during spring training. Unlike the 10-day suspension for a first offense in the majors, minor leaguers sit for 15 games. John Clossy, ABC News, New York.
You're listening to ABC News.
Sony, makers of the first home video system, the first CD player, and of course, the Walkman, has another great innovation. The Sony Card credit card. Apply today and transform your ordinary purchases into extraordinary rewards from Sony. Every time you use the Sony card, you get one step closer to getting the things you want, because every dollar you spend earns Sony reward points, Good for CDs, DVDs, digital cameras, TVs, all the Sony electronics you may be dreaming of. And the Sony card comes with all the features you deserve in a credit card, with a competitive APR and no annual fee. When you apply now, you'll even get a $50 credit to your account after your first purchase. Additional terms and conditions apply. Call for details. Don't wait. Turn your everyday purchases into Sony products with the Sony card. This offer is available to applicants in the U.S. only. You must be 18 years or older to apply. Call 888-294-3200. That's 888-294-3200.
Thousands remain evacuated in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York State because of flooding brought on by violent thunderstorms. In Wayne, New Jersey, this man and his family had to head for higher ground.
Why you gotta be afraid?
I don't know. There's a lot of water.
I got to buy a new house.
President Bush says he expects one definition of the word leaving from Syria as far as its troops and intelligence agents leaving Lebanon.
When they say we're going to leave the country, we expect troops and security forces to leave.
The president at the White House with the visiting president from Ukraine also warned Syrian leaders against trying to delay next month's elections in Lebanon.
It's important for this election to take place on time.
A UN diplomat says Syria has agreed to pull out from Lebanon all troops and intelligence agents by the end of the month. A study links watching TV in certain amounts to childhood bullying. ABC's Bill Greenwood in Washington.
An estimated 30% of American children are the victims of bullying each year. And a University of Washington study found that the more TV children watch, the more likely they are to become a bully. The study of four-year-olds found that each hour of television viewing increases the risk by 9%.
Wall Street stocks closed higher following crude oil prices. The Border Patrol has sensors along the Arizona-Mexican border to try to catch illegal immigrants. But it says the citizens taking part in volunteer patrols along the border are unwittingly tripping the sensors. This is ABC News.
Close your eyes in Chicago, and you can hear the sound of a zebra braying in Africa. Look hard out your window in D.C., and you can see the snow-covered peaks of the Andes. The world is that small. We are that connected. Please visit earthshare.org and learn how the world's leading environmental groups are working together. Earthshare. One environment. One simple way to care for it all. A public service message from Earthshare and the Ed Council.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 5 minutes after 9 o'clock. This is Head on a Monday night. You know it's Monday. There is a story that came out over the weekend. It's just one of those, it's one of those that, you know, makes you want to tear your eyeballs out, dip your head in a bucket of lye, run screaming off a cliff. Having to do with the report that is out now about the intelligence failures. Headline, U.S. relied on drunken liar to justify war. I wish they wouldn't talk about George Bush that way. Oh, it's not George Bush. Crazy Iraqi spy was full of misinformation, says report. Well, it was in vogue, wasn't it? I mean, U.S. relied on drunken liar to justify war. George Bush. No, seriously, this is just a beautiful thing. The guy was, and you know, it comes out on the same day that the baseball season opens. And the guy's code name was Curveball. And he apparently, according to the story in The Observer, was an alcoholic cousin of an aide to Ahmed Chalabi. You remember Ahmed Chalabi, don't you? $346,000 a month, Ahmed Chalabi. You know, the guy we paid that money to, you know. What's the old Fleetwood Mac song? Tell me lies, tell me sweet little lies. Yeah, in a large way. Now, the CIA gave the guy codename Curveball. And according to the report that came out, he is ground zero, if you will, for telling lies to get, you know, 1,500-plus American service members killed, 10, 15, 20,000 maimed, 60% of whom have traumatic brain injuries. And it's interesting, we based our justification for going to war on this guy, Curveball, alcoholic cousin of an aide to Ahmed Chalabi. Curveball. I'm thinking I'd codename him Screwball. Knuckleball. Slider. Between January 2000 and September 2001, according to the report, he offered 100 reports, among them the claims of mobile biological weapons labs, you know, the ones that Colin Powell went to the UN and lied through his teeth about. The commission concluded that Curveball's information was worse than none at all. And here's the quote. Worse than having no human sources, it said, is being seduced by a human source who is telling lies. Yeah. We could write a book. We tried to tell people that before the November election, but no! So, although the defector's never been formally identified, it appears he was an Iraqi chemical engineer who defected after UN inspectors left the country in 1998. This is, his information was central to an October 2002 national intelligence estimate that concluded Iraq has, remember that, has biological weapons and was widely used by President Bush and Dick Cheney to make their case for war. This, though, is the sentence that just makes you scream. Quoting from the article, it now appears there were problems with Curveball from the start, but the intelligence community was willing to believe him, quote, because the tales he told were consistent with what they already, that word we hate, it's that word we hate, believed. They were willing to believe him because the tales he told were consistent with what they already believed. Faith-based intelligence. Oh, God. Now, do you remember when people were saying, you know, is Dick Cheney going and muscling the intelligence in the run-up to the war? Is he trying to get the CIA to say what he once said? Remember that? And from Handy to Buzzer Boy O'Reilly to Flush Flemball and the Savage Wiener, it was a steady diet of Dick Cheney is an upright and decent man and would never do anything like that. They were willing to believe Curveball because the tales he told were consistent with what they already believed. I forget the word for it, but it's the practice it's what you wind up with when you make the evidence fit your hypothesis. It's false science. It's fraud. The war is a fraud. Say it again. It'll make you feel better. The war is a fraud. Warnings about Curveball were ignored and dismissed out of hand. All the way back to May of 2000, Curveball was examined for signs that he had been exposed to biological agents. I mean, probably a smart idea. The results were inconclusive. But a U.S. official was surprised to find Curveball had a head-splitting hangover and offered the opinion that, quote, he might be an alcoholic. The Germans were the primary handlers of Curveball, and they told the CIA directly that Curveball was out of control. He's out of control. So there's nothing we can do with him. But the CIA said, Dick Cheney, Dick says this is how he wants it. So we don't care if he's out of control or not. See if you can crank out a few more lies out of him. Now, this is mind-numbing. Evidence that was cooked up to go to war, and the primary resting basis, if you will, for that war is a liquored-up chemical engineer who's a cousin of an aide to Ahmed Chalabi. I've read my fair share of Ken Follett, whatever, John le Carré. Who wrote James Bond? And those are, really smart people. Why, don't worry, we'll get out of this situation. Just let me get my laser pin out and cut a hole through, MacGyver, for God's sakes. MacGyver. Here, I've got some chewing gum and some bat poop and a little bit of, and a chewing gum wrapper. We'll make a bomb. But no, we went to war on the deluded, arguably delirium tremens based maunderings of Curveball. Oh, goodness gracious, I have a terrible hangover this morning. I was driving in today and I saw it. I felt like my eyeballs were going to bleed out of my sockets. But I looked over to my left and there was a mobile biological weapons lab in a truck hidden behind some palm trees. Can I have my check? And I got conservatives out here who are mad at poor people for getting food stamps. Paying thousands of dollars to drunk, out-of-work chemical engineers who were the cousin of an aide of Ahmed Chalabi and is just making stuff up as he goes along. Nah, no problem. The Germans even take the time to pick up the phone and call the CIA. And go, we hate to tell you this, but our man Curveball, the man you call Curveball, is out of control. He's drinking schnapps through a straw. He's uncontrollable. We don't know what to do with him. You want him? No. You keep him. We don't want anything to do with it. You just keep everything he says. You just tape it and send it to us. You're gonna actually believe this crazy man? Oh, believe him? We're gonna base a war on him, sunshine. You're crazier than he is. Oh, Curveball. We went to war on the word of a guy we called Curveball. I'd have felt better going to war on the assertions of a cat named Hairball, for God's sakes. Mobile biological weapons labs. Just made them up. They turned out to be trucks equipped with machinery to make helium for weather balloons. And you can just see Saddam standing there by the tank.
How about the Yellow Brick Road?
And sucking up the helium. Oh, my God. The aluminum tubes. You remember the aluminum tubes? For making centrifuges.
They were beer cans!
Oh, my God. Look, it's... Curveball. All right. Curveball. Knuckleball. Scroogey. Oh, what happened to the smart people? Where are the James Bonds? They're not in our CIA. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hey, are you looking for the best in wireless service? Then take a fresh look at Cellular One. Cellular One's advanced network delivers unsurpassed call quality and reliability in more places than any other wireless company in the region. That's right. More places in southern West Virginia, more places in southwestern Virginia, more places across the nation. Why, in the past year alone, the coverage leader has added 25% more sites. So when we say we're here for you, we really mean it. And Cellular One gives you more choices in rate plans and features. And it in phones, from flip phones to camera phones, all at great deals. Add in our dependable local customer service, and it's no wonder Cellular One was voted the favorite place to buy cellular phones by readers of the Beckley Register Herald. So if you're looking for wireless, look to the one that gives you more of what you want, where you want it. Cellular One, we're here for you. For a limited time, get a Motorola V180 color screen flip phone for only $19.99 after rebate. Bring your current number to Cellular One and get a free phone and free activation.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We're there. Where there's a surge.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
Radio for the real majority. Head up.
Welcome back. Almost 20 minutes after 9 o'clock. Back to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jack is with us. Hey, Jack, you're head on.
Hey, Bob, I want to speak of the Pope again one more time.
Go right ahead.
He believed in peace, but yet what was in Iraq was not quite at home. He didn't go for that. But yet, same time, I want to say to you, abortion, I don't think the government should get involved with people at homes when they got abortion or what they want to do at home. The government doesn't know families. They don't care about families.
No, and they don't.
So there should be no ruling on that.
No, absolutely not. You're absolutely right, Jack. Makes perfectly good sense. The right wing likes to tell us, you know, that they believe in family values and most of it's just hokum because look at what happened with poor Terry Schiavo. You know, they wanted to inject themselves into that poor family.
Well, I think, Bob, I think if they stay out of the people's affairs, the government, if they stay out of people's affairs, I appreciate Jeff calling you, and I think y'all could make a long run at something, but as when the government's involved, in which you'll always be, anything you find good, they'll tear it down.
You're absolutely right, Jack. I appreciate it.
Well, appreciate is good enough for me, but a family knows where they're at. The government is where they're at.
Yeah.
I pay my taxes. I pay IRS. They probably get all the profit I got on the little bit of money I have in my bank. My God, and I pay the taxes on that, so who's making the benefit of it?
Right. Well, I did you.
So, but yet, I do think I preach the world. I appreciate the Pope. But I'm saying these things went wrong in Iraq, and Bush is not in with that at all. And he's killing boys over there. And my goodness, what's the difference in abortion and that?
There's not a dime.
Well, thank you,
difference.
Sir, for your
thank
time.
You, Jack. Take care. And Cherie. Hey, Cherie, you're head on.
Good evening.
How are you?
Just fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Pretty good for a Monday. I'm happy it's Monday.
Well, we're happy to have you back. We missed you.
Thanks.
For all these socially active people who are talking about the welfare program, you know, I had a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
They can go down tomorrow to their local department, put up job postings, invite some of these people who are living off welfare, invite them in. Have a job fair. Find them someplace. Train them.
Yeah, teach them.
Yeah, I mean, you know, offer them some health care and a living wage so that they can get back and forth. Oh, I'm sorry, that's the union, isn't it?
Yeah, the living wage, the pension, the benefits.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I got the two groups mixed up.
No, you didn't.
But, you know, I can tell that these gentlemen who are so highly educated calling into the show have done their research. There's no one living on the dole anymore. They don't live on the dole.
No, thanks to welfare reform, you get 5 years worth of welfare and then see you later. We don't care if you starve. We don't care if your babies die in the streets. Well, you know, welfare is evil.
So are they going to go down and sell their grandmother at the courthouse square when Social Security goes to bunk?
Oh, well.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about their families. That's getting personal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you know, take a look at all the other families that are out here that do worry, that do want to work.
Well, you know, I get the idea, Cherie, that there is a segment of this population that if you handed them a copy of Jonathan Swift's Modest Proposal, they wouldn't understand that it was satire. They'd think it was a damn good idea.
More than likely.
You know, the Modest Proposal for eating Irish babies.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's that rare and endangered species thing.
Us.
So they just go ahead and eat it. You know, pay for it and then eat it.
Right.
But it's sad to hear that this is what they're coming up with, because when things go bad, I hope that they don't think that they're going to do better by it. It's going to pull them down, too. It's going to pull us down as a nation.
Well, when I guess there's a segment of the population for whom it will not matter at all if gasoline goes to $10 a gallon.
Well,
but there's not that many of those kind of people, Cherie.
My family's like yours. You know, we have cut down everything, even sports participation, because of gas prices.
Right. So what can you do? I mean, you can't...
cut to the bone and you do the best you can so you can get back and forth from work.
There are a lot of people out there that these gas prices are cutting into the family food budget.
Yes, it is.
You know, that's
cuts into everything.
That's a hell of a choice to put onto an American family. Do you eat or do you go to work?
Bob, you know, the welfare dole's out there for us, though. I mean, we can have better cars and better homes and better lives if we go down and apply for welfare.
If only it was true.
But, you know, no matter what anyone says, the union has always been there. They take people out of school or wherever when there's no other option, and they help train them, and they give them jobs, and they give them some security. And for all the people who are anti-union, well, maybe you had a bad deal at one time, but not everyone's like that. And I've worked on both sides of the table, and I'll take union any day versus non-union.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But now if anyone out there has a job, you know, that's non-union, and you're willing to take care of your employee, kudos to you. I think that's great.
Yeah,
you're an honest person.
Yeah, health care, pension, sure.
Well, yeah.
Whatever
happened to the idea that, you know, if you're loyal to someone, they'll be loyal back? If you're going to dedicate your life to working for someone and making their business grow, then why should they not be loyal to you and provide you what you need in order to be able to do a good job for them?
Because it's a one-way street. The loyalty runs from modern America, the loyalty runs from the employee to the employer, but it does not go in the other direction.
Well, you know, I think that's really sad, because I don't think that was the idea starting out.
It is really sad, Cherie, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Well, and it seems like a lot of people want a second set of parents. You know, didn't the first set do any good with you? Are you going to let the government become your mother and father now and tell you what to do?
Well, that's the welfare state.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, my parents are both gone. I had one set.
Yeah.
I'm not looking for another. Maybe they have a mommy and daddy inferiority complex, but a lot of people don't.
But
a lot of us are getting pissed because of it.
But in America, Cherie, you know, we're the best nation on earth. And yet there are people out there who feel like it's okay if families go hungry. I can't make those two things hook up.
That's not okay. It's not okay that children should be hungry, that families should be without health care. There are some people who enjoy, you know, wonderful health care.
But if we want to spend $1.5 million on a piece or something like that on brand new cruise missiles to drop on families in Iraq, oh, well, let's all stand up and sing the national anthem.
Well, you know, they keep trying to bring that rapture, but I'm afraid that they're kind of looking at it a little wrongly. Maybe they should look up the scripture of St. Thomas.
Yeah.
And take a look at that, because they're believing everything else. This was one of the testaments. It just got deleted.
Well, it wasn't convenient for the people who were consolidating power in the 3rd century.
See, I kind of look at it that there have been guys down through the ages sat down and wrote. Some of them were very intelligent and seemed to know what they were talking about. And then there were others that were just way off in left field.
Yeah, people just pursuing an agenda.
Yeah, like Paul.
You took the words out of my mouth. Cherie, we've got to roll, though. We're at the bottom of the hour.
Thank you, Bob. You have a good evening.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks for the call. And when we come back, more of your calls, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. Preparations are underway in Wood County for the arrival of President Bush tomorrow. He'll visit Parkersburg for the third time in less than a year. First two visits in May and September of last year were part of the Republicans' re-election campaign, and tomorrow he will be talking about the problems with Social Security. Meanwhile, the Bush administration's desire to zero out money allotted from the Justice Assistance Grant Program could prove damaging to the regional drug task force that serves Raleigh and Fayette County. Trident coordinator Ronnie Booker said the task force uses that money to pay officers overtime. He said Trident operates mainly from its asset forfeiture funds, items and money captured as a result of its investigations, vehicles and operation expenses. Money used by undercover agents to buy drugs come from that money, and because of those funds, Trident is financially stable. Perhaps an even more painful result would be the problem communities would face should drug law enforcement funding result in fewer drug arrests. The Bush administration has said it wants to dedicate funds correctly, or rather currently used by West Virginia's Regional Drug Task Force, to programs under the Department of Homeland Security. Governor Manchin, who has repeatedly pledged support for small rural community-based schools, is scheduled to lead his first school building authority meeting this evening. Manchin gained authority to oversee the SBA after the legislature approved his reorganization bill in a special session earlier this year. A Mercer County man has been charged in connection with the shooting death of another man at his residence. 58-year-old James Constantino was arrested yesterday and now being held at Southern Regional Jail. He's accused in the death of Pat Browman, who lived in the same Unity Road residence. The shooting is thought to have occurred Friday morning, but was not reported till Sunday morning. No other details were available today. The Mercer County Sheriff's Office is investigating. That's the news. Now here's the forecast for this evening. Sunny, temperatures mid-50s to around 60. Tonight then clear with the low mid-40s. Tomorrow sunny, high near 75. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
WWNR Beckley.
Hi, I'm Warren Eckstein with today's pet tip. Here are some bird don'ts. If your bird's beak needs trimming, file it. Don't clip it. Beaks can split and bleed. Be careful when clipping toenails. Clipping too short can cause bleeding and make it difficult for your bird to perch. Keep birds out of the kitchen. They can fly into boiling water or land on hot burners. Also, fumes from cooking can be deadly. Fumes from burning Teflon can be toxic. Household cleaners for your birds can be very dangerous as well. Never give your birds avocado, chocolate, coffee, or rhubarb, and do not keep so many birds that you don't have the time or energy for proper care, and leaving toilet bowls open can also be a hazard. Don't fall asleep with your bird. You can roll over causing injury or death, and do not share saliva or allow birds to eat from your mouth. Saliva can contain harmful bacteria. Allowing a bird on a head or shoulders can be dangerous, and never buy a bird on impulse. Educate yourself first. You know, birds live a long time, and they're really great pets, but you really got to understand them. I'm Warren Eckstein.
If you're like most people, you're sick and tired of your bathroom scale dictating your mood. If you're down a pound, great day. But watch out if you're up a pound or two, or your clothes are a bit tighter. This is not a good day. If this sounds like you, then step off the scale and into the Cortislim lifestyle. You know Cortislim people. You run into those Cortislim show-offs constantly. You hear how great and physically fit they feel and how they're going new clothes shopping after work. Well, Cortislim people have learned that at least part of their weight issues is related to stress and hormones. courtesan people don't drive themselves nuts because they've learned the balance of exercise, nutrition, diet, and supplementation. Join me. Step off the scale and into the courtesan lifestyle. Call now and get $20 off when you purchase two bottles of Cortislim. $20 off two bottles. That's huge. Call 1-800-LEAN-313. 1-800-LEAN-313. 1-800-LEAN-313.
Hello?
Hi, Bill? This is George Dewey from up the street.
Oh, hey, George. How you doing?
Good, good. Say, I noticed you've been walking to work these days instead of driving. And I don't quite know how to say this, but...
But what?
But your butt. Your buttocks. Your butt. I think I found your butt on my front lawn. Have you recently lost it?
As a matter of fact, I have, George. It's about time someone noticed.
Well, it was kind of hard to miss, if you know what I mean. Anyways, would you like it back?
Would I like it back? No, not really.
So it's okay if I throw it out?
Sure, that's fine. Take it easy, George.
Small step number 8. Walk instead of driving whenever you can. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 25 minutes before 10 o'clock. And back to the phones. Jim had another thought to add. Hey, Jim. Jim.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Listen, have you heard that ditty, if you're happy and you're you want to show it, clap your hands?
Mm-hmm.
Well, would you like to hear this one? It's short.
Sure.
If we cannot find Osama, bomb Iraq. If the markets hurt your mama, bomb Iraq. If the terrorists are Saudi and the bank takes back your Audi and the TV shows are body, bomb Iraq. If the corporate scandals grow in, bomb Iraq. And your ties to them are showing, bomb Iraq. If the smoking gun is smoking, we don't care and we're not joking. If the bomb will boom be croaking, bomb Iraq.
Hooray!
And if we have no allies, bomb Iraq. From the San Jose Valley, bomb Iraq. Who the hell wants the inspection? Unless it's tough for the elections, to close your mind and take directions, bomb Iraq. While the globe is slowly warming, bomb Iraq. If the clouds of war are storming, bomb Iraq. If the ozone hole is growing, some things are pertinent knowing, though our ignorance is showing, bomb Iraq. Oh, here's one for dear old daddy, bomb Iraq. I'm his favorite little laddie, bomb Iraq. Saying no one looks, saying no one look like treason. It's the Hussein hunting season, even if we have no reason, bomb Iraq.
That's gorgeous. That's just wonderful,
Jim.
Heard
that before?
No.
Well, I thought you might appreciate it.
That's that's precious. The Hussein hunting season, especially.
Anyway, I'm sorry. That may seem a little...
No, that's beautiful. That's great radio, Jim.
Well, listen, I thought you might appreciate it, and I just wanted to share.
Well, you know, when you've got the CIA relying on a drunken former chemical engineer, cousin to an aide to Ahmed Chalabi, it's open season, man.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, you're right. And that's all I can say. I mean, you can't argue with what you've been saying.
I mean, we got over there, Jim. Check it out. All this time he said, oh, yes, I am big man in chemical weapons program. Big, big man.
Yeah.
Well, we get over there, and Iraqis that Curveball said were co-workers in the biological weapons program said, who's that drunk? We don't know him. You know, that's just another one of the guys that hung out under one of the bridges over the Euphrates drinking that screw-top wine.
Hey, you're right. I'll tell you.
You know.
Anyway, you know, I'll tell you, apparently things, I don't know how they're going over there, but, you know, between Terry Schiavo and now the death of the Pope, I guess the media's got something else to take a look at, right?
Yeah, I mean, how bad is this getting that the Michael Jackson trial is now like story number 3 on the news? I mean, something's got to happen. Michael's, this is not good for Michael.
I think if I were Michael, I would be pulling a Roman Polanski.
Later, guys.
I really would.
Yeah.
I mean, it does not look good for him. And I don't think he would do very easy time.
His face would probably fall off within the first 2 days in the stir. I mean, that thing takes some maintenance.
Well, you know, Bob, I worked in a prison for a year. When I was trying to get into civil service.
Mm-hmm.
Between teaching school and civil service. This was back in 79. And I'm going to guarantee you one thing. I saw things in there that you just would not believe.
Oh, yeah, I would, unfortunately.
Pretty prison. I mean, and basically, you just kept your mouth shut, too. Even as a staff member, you did. So that's a whole new world.
Yeah, and it's not a good one either. And of course, you know, that's one of the beautiful things about our American punishment fetish, Jim. We like it that way. We like sending criminals to criminal university so they can get their criminal master's degree, because that's what prison is.
Of course it is. I mean, they have their own token economy. You can find more drugs and what they call butt or hard liquor in there than you can on the street. And basically, it's amazing to find how many of the prison officials are so corrupt that they permit it to go on, because it's kind of like the Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah. Well, you know, among other things, Jim, the reason Abu Ghraib happened, you know, Lindy England and Charles Grainer and that happy crowd, that's how they're accustomed to treating people in prisons here. They in the real world, they were prison guards.
Right.
And I mean, it wasn't just something they cooked up. Dehumanizing and this is not to say that people don't go to prison for legitimate reasons. But my God, how much of our prison population is made up of
people who don't need to be there, Bob?
Yeah, low grade drug offenders.
White collar criminals and stuff, where they could serve the government interest better if they were not dependent on the state where they are, because it costs around $10,000 a year to maintain a prison.
No, more than that, Jim.
I mean, yeah, and that was by the standards of 20 years ago. I don't know what it is now.
No, it's considerably more than that. I read a statistic not too long back. It's horrifying. You know, we could spend that money. Like with the drug offenders, we could spend that money helping to get them clean and sober and change their lives. But no, we'd rather just stuff them in a cell, warehouse them, and punish them for a while.
The thing, Mr. Kincaid, the whole prison philosophy, the whole penal system, has transitioned from the effort to rehabilitate to simply incarcerate and punish.
Yeah, and warehouse.
And warehouse. That's exactly it. And there is, and what do you have, a hardened criminal who hits the street, and within 5 or 6 weeks, he's become so institutionalized, he can't find a place in society, so he's going to head right back there and do something to do it, and he doesn't care what he has to do.
Right.
I don't understand that kind of philosophy. I really don't.
It's just, it doesn't speak well for our country, Jim.
American gulag system.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I mean, I don't care if it's this boondoggle down in Kentucky that they call Sink Sink, because it's on a mountaintop removal site and the foundation won't stabilize, or the real Sing Sing, or the Mount Olive. These are all just little punishment fetish playgrounds.
Yes, they are. And they're not the pleasant places to be. But like I say, if I were Michael Jackson, I would find a lookalike real quick, and I would be heading for the border.
Well, that's the problem, Jim. How many Michael Jackson lookalikes are there?
I guess not too many.
You know, I don't think he can go to the airport with a passport with the name Mohandas K. Jeeves on it and get on the plane.
No,
it's not going to happen for him.
Apparently, that 7-year-old guy who testified over the news, well, that L.A. district attorney is going to get his way, I believe. And so there it is, and there you have it. But anyway, listen, I know you've got things to do, and I just thought I would just...
No, that was a great song, Jim.
Okay, well, thank you for letting me have the time.
Sure, take care.
Okay.
Oh, that was a beauty. That was. Now, backing up a little bit to something I mentioned earlier in the program. Bush's visit tomorrow. And I inquired as to what the likelihood you think that Bush's little Republifascists on the ground will stop Democrats from trying to get in there, because, there was one of these Social Security boondoggle chats out in Arizona. A couple of students at Arizona State or something like that tried to get in, and they were bounced out for having a donkey image on the back of their T-shirts. Really? Not kidding. And then there's Denver. Three people got tossed out of a Denver Social Security harangue, not for wearing T-shirts. They didn't say a word. They had tickets that they had gotten through their Republican congressman's office. They were they provided all the information. They were there legitimately. And they were evicted by a guy who looked and acted like a Secret Service agent. What was their offense? Again, they did not say a word. They didn't disrupt the proceedings. They drove there in a car that had a bumper sticker on it that said, "No more blood for oil." That's it. I mean, it's not like they were kicking their hacky sack between them and, had long hair and, didn't shave, and, the girls didn't shave their legs and stuff, and, they were eating cheese sandwiches and, listening to, the Dead on their, Walkman as they were, going in, and singing, "Hey, hey, ho, ho, George Bush has got to go." Yeah, no, it wasn't that. This was a woman named Leslie Weiss. A woman named Karen Bauer, Leslie Weiss, 39, Karen Bauer, 38, and Alex Young, 25. And they went in, they sat down, they did nothing. And this thug shows up looking like a Secret Service guy and boots them. Now, again, this is not something being paid for with George Bush money. He's done spending money now. He's spending hours for this. $750,000 an hour to use Air Force One, running around the country trying to con people into letting him steal Social Security. These three people did absolutely nothing. No chanting, no singing, no love beads, no holding hands, no kumbaya, no praying. Just sitting there, and this fascist thug, comes up and boots them out of the event. So they're lawyer, all they could tell their lawyer was, this guy in the dark suit with the glasses and the little thingy, the little coiled cord coming up out of his suit coat and hooked into his ear, came up and threw us out. The Secret Service. So the following Wednesday, they had a meeting with the local Secret Service office in Denver, and it turned out then... the Secret Service said it wasn't our guy. They looked into it, the Secret Service did, and found out the man was what a surprise. A Republican Party staffer working for George Bush. How many people is George Bush terrified of? How pitiful is this idea that it cannot even operate in the marketplace of ideas and... survive, let alone compete. So, last Wednesday, Slippery Scotty McClellan, habitué of Austin, Texas gay bars, was asked about it. Here's what he said. "If they're standing up and disrupting an event, like I said, they're going to be asked to leave." And he went on to say that the people in Denver said that their intent of coming to the event originally was to disrupt it. Of course, Ms. Weiss and her companions had made no such statement. They weren't going to disrupt anything. No chanting, no singing, no kumbaya. But George Bush, being the coward that he is, was scared to death. Now, here's another one of those things, sort of like the Valerie Plame outing incident, where, a pretty serious federal felony gets committed and just nothing happens. Sorry, no semen stains, no blue dresses, no interest. Because if you'll bother to look up in the federal code, you will find it is a crime. Work with me here. You know where we're going. It is a crime to impersonate a Secret Service agent. So once again, another crime committed by this racketeer-influenced corrupt organization, RICO organization, otherwise known as the Bush administration. And they're going to walk away. They're going to get away with it. Now, we've spent $21 million investigating Henry Cisneros over improper payments to a girlfriend. See, there's the girlfriend. There's the Cherchez la femme. There's the interest. I keep telling you, these Republicans are weirdo sex fetishists. And you don't believe me? Well, some of you, the normal people do. $21 million over a $10,000 fine for Henry Cisneros, but there's some sex involved. Sex. And what is this Bush administration? These are like all prepubescent adolescents out behind the gymnasium looking at dirty pictures. You know, meanwhile, gasoline's 58, 59, going to be 60, $100 a barrel. Look at her. She's naked. Naked woman. This is what they are. $21 million over Henry Cisneros, and we're going to let this guy impersonating a Secret Service agent gone. See ya. Don't worry about it.
It's okay. It's only business.
No outrage. No outrage at all. Remember, the guy that outed Valerie Plame inside the Bush White House is probably still serving there. Hasn't been charged. Remember, the guy that sent the anthrax to all the liberals. They're not even close to finding that person because they don't want to. Wouldn't be good to have to bring down a conservative. Asked about the White House explanation that they were evicted because they might try something. Ms. Young said, I think that involves mind reading. It's a very authoritarian kind of concept. I can't believe it. Bauer added, I think it's kind of creepy. Yes, it's kind of creepy! Fuck God. I think it's kind of creepy. It's disgusting. It's your tax day. I don't care if you're a commie or an atheist commie or an atheist commie fag pinko cannibal. You still ought to be able to go into this event with George W. Bush, shouldn't you? Those of you who support this death pimp in the White House, are you so into the Kool-Aid that you think that this is just okay? This is America the way it ought to be. Are you? Or do you believe in America at all? You know, I criticize this. Well, Bob, he's your president, too. No, sweetheart, he's not either. I don't associate with fascists. But for the he's your president crowd, well, if he is, why is he afraid of us? If he's so proud of this Social Security con job, why can't people from both sides of the aisle hear him describe it? Because he's un-American, anti-American, undemocratic. Most of you have probably seen the video of him standing there. There ought to be limits to freedom. He said that. There ought to be limits to freedom. He said it, and he believes it. So he's coming to Parkersburg tomorrow on our nickel, $750,000 an hour, to fly around and try to pass off what is, for the most part, a hot check on Social Security to people who know better. But if you see footage of it, you will see behind him, I am sure, there at WVU Parkersburg, WVUP, You'll see this echelon of people standing there and sitting there and with this, you know, Kool-Aid plastered grin across their face, just clapping. Oh my God, he's so smart. You'll see it. And you will know that you are looking, once again, at another George Bush hand-picked crowd. Now, if my side had any real gumption and creativity, and we do, but I mean, we're tired. We're working too hard to buy the gasoline. We can't afford to drive from Beckley to Parkersburg. Might as well be the moon. But we'd dress, you know, we'd get a husband and wife team and dress them up looking like good little Republicans with their little flag pins and little elephant lapel pins and just slip them right in there and write down some innocuous question on a card like, "Sir, how can you Mr. President, how can you deal with people on Social Security when it appears that they have divorced themselves from reality?" And then you ask the real question, "George, why do you want to rip us off?" I'm sure that there's any number of folks who listen to this show who are already on a list and couldn't get within a mile of WVUP tomorrow because we don't agree with ripping off America. But it will be interesting. I mean, we first started learning about how terrified George was of ordinary Americans with the 4th of July trip that he took, again, on our nickel. It wasn't a campaign thing, but you couldn't show up and not like George. And it'll be more of the same tomorrow. And he'll talk about personal accounts. Piratized. Piratized accounts. You know the drill. Listen, thanks to everybody who joined in. Callers, listeners, emailers, I really appreciate it. The show tonight was produced by the lovely and talented Taylor Sky, engineered by Randy Kerbway, who also knows how to make clocks generating 10 kilohertz ear-splitting tones be quiet. He's a smart guy. announced at least in part by Brian Reznor and brought to you as ever by the 20,000 workers of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they are working for you. Also brought to you by our good friends at the West Virginia Pipe Trades. The show is archived every night by our good friend Ben Birch of Elgin, Illinois, and WhiteRoseSociety.org. You got a chance to hear him this evening. Go there, have a listen, and there's lots of good radio that he archives, not just this show. We'll be back tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Really, 7 o'clock this time, not 7:16. Hopefully the clock will behave. You didn't want to hear this. This was awful. Hey, Agnes! That's 20.